about.
We're going on a mission. Start the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Darlene had a problem. She was fat. Darlene had gone online and ordered tapeworm larva from Venezuela. She swallowed it, and soon enough, her little diet friend had set up shop in her small intestine and began feeding on anything Darlene ate. It was a good deal. The fatter the tapeworm grew, the skinnier Darlene became.
I'm already down 4 dress sizes.
Darlene finally fit into a size 4 dress. Too bad she wore it at her funeral.
And now...
I had nothing to do with this.
Oh, that's right, I forgot. You blacked out. Well, next time you black out, it might be permanent.
A first-class dirt nap.
Free ride in the Pine Box Derby.
Yeah, you'll get up, be dead. Sorry, don't have it.
Our feature presentation.
Especially good one today, B.
Hey, Allie, I saw you enjoying very much the 1,000 Ways to Die story about the woman who tried to lose weight with a tapeworm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were obsessed with that show. Kevin and I used to love that show. We used to talk about it all the time. We used to have the guys on all the time. And then one day we talked them into having us on the program being reenactors. Because, you know, that's what they do is they take stories from the news and they reenact the people who die, who fall into a, you know, into a vat of boiling oil at work or something. And we were going to be the guys on the next season. Then the show got canceled.
Oh.
Do you think it was because we were going to be the
guys? But I feel like we were so close to accomplishing a real achievement there, being on 1,000 Ways to Die. Like, we were so excited about dying.
Give us the shortest story. We don't care. Just let us die.
Right, exactly. Get attacked by a cheetah in my driveway, whatever it takes, I'd be happy to do. But it got canceled. The show got too expensive or something like that. But that was an awesome show. Remember how much we used to love that?
Too bad she had to wear it at her funeral.
Her funeral. I remember long before that episode aired. Remember, we had Dr. Drew on when I was convinced that a tapeworm diet was the way to go, and I wanted to have him on to talk about the medical advisability of it, and also to help me figure out how I could get a tapeworm.
I've Googled it.
I bet you have.
Absolutely.
I mean, in theory, it's a great idea if you have something else inside of you that's eating all the stuff that you're eating,
and if you can watch it just in time that it's about to take over.
Can I just
get it removed?
Can I just butt in and say,
yeah,
are
sure.
you serious?
Dead serious.
Did you Googled
yeah.
it?
I did.
Because I didn't buy for a second that B was thinking about it.
I was totally.
I think
you're thinking about heroin. Same thing.
I think a lot of people, maybe ladies, have Googled. How do I get a tapeworm?
What?
Yeah.
And a lot of people have tried it, too, by the way.
What?
A lot of people have tried. The lady in that show is not the only one who went down by a tapeworm. I mean, that's a thing that happens. Every year there are stories about people trying the tapeworm diet.
It's the worst spell I've ever heard.
It didn't ring right.
That was kind of weak.
I hit it wrong.
Anyway, so good times.
How was
everyone's? Yeah, so that was all that. How was everyone's last night? Kevin, you tried a little baseball last night.
I did.
What'd you think?
Well, I mean,
right?
I mean, I watched for about 20 minutes, and I was behind by about 15, so I could fast forward through the boring parts.
Mm-hmm. You mean the commercials?
Whatever.
Every second of the action was...
Whatever happened to be boring.
Okay.
And then I live tweeted it for about 8 minutes, and then I quit. Because here's the thing. It's baseball. And baseball's totally boring.
It was a very exciting game last night with some great pitching, some great hitting, some great feel. It had everything. It had legends of the game coming out. How often do you get a chance to see Willie Mays and Sandy Koufax and Hank Aaron on your TV?
Yeah.
That tugged at your heartstrings a little bit.
Well, I mean, I understand that they're important and they're historical figures.
Legends.
And legends. Okay, good. But if I don't like baseball, then what would make you think that would tug at my heartstrings?
Because it's freaking Sandy Koufax.
Right, but I'm saying I don't like the sport Sandy Koufax played.
Right, but you can appreciate what Sandy Koufax accomplished, though.
Right.
You can look at it and go, wow, I'm glad that old man is still alive and is getting this kind of
and
love.
And looked great, too.
And looked fantastic, yeah.
Is he the one that threw out the first pitch from like
Fox.
6 feet away?
Oh.
Hollywood spiked right on Sandy Koufax. Come on.
He's like 85 years old or something. I know. Honestly, I really don't know much about him. Bean, here's the thing.
Sandy Koufax?
I know his name. I know he's important. I don't care. My heart doesn't care because it's baseball. So whatever my head knows is irrelevant.
let me ask you this. So you tune into the All-Star game. You're thinking, all right, everybody's yelling at me about baseball.
I saw Fat Pete Rose. I love that.
Fat Pete Rose, who's turning into Chris Farley. But how about when Mike Trout hits a home run?
I love that.
First at bat, you go, that's how you start an All-Star game.
I love that because the announcer, first of all, I had to look it up. The announcer said something about Dostoevsky.
Mm-hmm. Like, famous Russian writer, yeah.
Okay, so Granke's is hard to read as Dostoevsky, or whatever the hell that guy's name is.
Dostoevsky,
right. And then Trout hits a home run the next pitch. I was like, wow, he's not that hard to read, apparently. The very next pitch.
That is actually very funny.
And I saw Ryan Seacrest commercial twice, which I loved.
Yeah.
Because
that was a lot.
Because it's called Knock Knock Live, and he was showing us how it worked.
Yeah.
In two different commercials. How does it work, this Knock Knock Live? Right. All I know is there's not a knock or a knock. There's a doorbell. Mm-hmm. That's BS, right? Yeah. It's called Knock. Knock is in the title of the show, right? Twice out of three words. He rings the doorbell.
Right.
So that's it. Then I was out. Saw a home run. Saw a pitch. Fantastic. Move on.
So you had a pretty good All-Star night experience.
Nope. It was not fun. I was shut up. Knock Knock Live, 2 out of 3. What? Are you? I hate you, Chip.
Who are you talking to?
Stupid Chip.
What's Chip saying?
She's just laughing. Look, I don't know. It's impossible to tell because she and Allie have this little love connection where they're always laughing about something, and I'm uncertain enough of what I do that I'm like, oh, what did I do now? Shoot.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. All right, is that how we're starting today's show?
No, I'll give you a story to start, because I had to bump this yesterday for Pluto Talk, and I'm very excited about the story, and I think you will be as well. And that is a story out of Cirencester, which I'm probably pronouncing wrong, in England. It's near Bristol there. There was a traffic accident that has created international headlines. I don't know if you hear about the woman in the Mini Cooper who ran into the back of a truck?
Nope.
You hear about her?
No.
So it's slow. I'll tell it real quick. It's slow traffic, and all of a sudden she just they're sitting there, you know, waiting at the behind a light or something like that. And her car just lurches forward into the back of a seafood van owned by M&J Seafood, about which I will make no further jokes or references.
Sure.
So she is in the accident, and then she gets out, exchanges insurance information with the driver. Everybody goes along their way. But then when the driver gets back to the shop, whose truck has been hit by the woman in the Mini Cooper, they say, hey, we've got cameras all over. Let's go check out and see what happened. And it was revealed that the reason the woman lurched forward is that she had a dildo out and she was masturbating in traffic and lost control of herself and her automobile. And you could clearly see her on the video doing that and then zipping up her pants and everything and getting out to do the whole insurance information. The driver gets called into the office by the boss after he sees the video, and the driver's convinced he's going to get fired because it was his first day on the job.
Oh,
he had been looking for work for a long time. It's his first day driving this truck, and now he gets in an accident. He's thinking, oh, man, come on. It's not my fault. I was just sitting there at a light, and the boss brings him in and says, hey, have you seen this footage? And apparently they all had a good laugh about it. They will only reveal that the woman was fit. But listen to this.
Fit.
Are not releasing the video or any information about the woman.
What?
Yes.
Aren't we owed that?
I would think so, too. Yes. So that was what caused the accident, is she was being inattentive as a result of using a rampant rabbit-style vibrator. That's as much as we know about what happened. And again, she ran into a seafood truck. So that's a thing that happened in England. So please enjoy.
Okay. I believe maybe we should talk to some of our listeners who have been similarly distracted.
I have no doubt there are plenty of them.
And have gotten into accidents because of that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I feel like I was just assaulted with a barrage of no talent.
We have screening passes for you to see Pixel.
Yeah.
So that's coming up this morning. We also have ride sharing. If you drive Uber, our friend Beer Mug just started driving Uber and or Lyft or some of the other ones. Beer Mug had a pretty bad weekend last weekend that involved a lot of vomit. So mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that coming up as well as your experiences.
That's a hazard of the job if you're picking, especially if you're driving an Uber and you're picking up people at night who are taking an Uber because they're drunk. I guess eventually something like that is going to happen to you. It just happened pretty early in his Uber career.
You know, the one question we haven't asked is who threw up, because it may have been Beer Mug.
That's a good point, Kevin.
We don't know for sure. Adam Carolla will be on the program today.
Yeah.
A brand new edition of Would You Like to Take That Back? We have Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes. And I'm not kidding you about this next part. Gwyneth Paltrow teaches you how to yawn.
Oh, finally. I feel like I've been doing it wrong my whole life.
Because you apparently aren't doing it right. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
That song is not by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Why are we playing that? That was really entertaining, that little Jet song, right?
Yes, it was, Bean.
Daddy likey. All right. Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. Hi, Ralph.
Looks like it was a good idea for Donald Trump to change his network for the Miss USA pageant. You know, of course, it's supposed to be on NBC and Univision.
Right.
But then, of course, he did call Mexican immigrants rapists and drug dealers and criminals. Not everybody was happy with that.
They weren't?
No.
Huh.
In fact, just the KKK, I think, were the only people really happy with it. So he had to find a new network, and he found Reels, the Reels channel.
Okay.
What do they primarily play over there? Is that a movie channel?
Primarily movies, yes.
Okay.
And they do some live original programming, but it's primarily films. Well, last year it had an audience of 5.6 million viewers on NBC. Surprisingly.
Okay.
I think I was high. I didn't know that many people watched
beauty pageants,
but apparently that's a pretty good number. Sunday night, it had 925,000 viewers.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
So, you should be proud, Donald. That was quite the astute move on your part.
I'm not good with numbers. Those are the same, roughly? Or?
No.
One is a little bit less than the other one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I also feel, by the way, Reels Channel, not an easy channel for, you know, it's not on everybody's favorites.
It's hard to find, and it's hard to spell, by the way, because they spell with a Z. So.
Exactly. I also feel like America has lost its appetite for beauty pageants. I just think that it's just not a thing that people are interested in anymore.
Last year, they had 5.6 million viewers.
Mm-hmm. That's a
lot. That's a lot of viewers.
In the 1980s, they had 40 million, though. I'm just saying. I feel like we've, as a nation, we've got a lot more options now, and nobody knows who Miss USA is. Nobody knows who Miss America is. We just don't care anymore, I think, as a nation. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, if you're going to compare it to the 80s when there were three channels.
Of course. You know what I mean? But I'm saying it dropped off from last year. We're talking about last year's viewing.
Oh, yeah.
6 million people watched. That's a lot of people watching something.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is dismal. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of things working against this pageant. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of Donald, I want to give a shout-out to Mexican artist Fernando Sosa. He he must be a fan of Trump's because he has fabricated a tribute to him. He has sculpted, in the likeness of Donald Trump, a butt plug.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
You should be, Donald. Fernando, apparently, it's his medium. It's his form of expression is he likes to sculpt butt plugs.
Okay.
Here's his statement. I usually make butt plugs to insult dictators, homophobes, and politicians. However, when I heard his remarks about Mexicans and Latinos from South America, I was extremely angry. You see, I was born and raised in Mexico and moved to the United States when I was 11 years old. When Trump decided to announce he's running for president, I decided to use Latinos as a scapegoat and blame us for everything that is ailing America. I sculpted this in his honor, and the butt plug is very, very reminiscent of Mr. Trump.
You don't know, man.
It's quite the honor. Hey, Whoopi Goldberg's changed her mind about Bill Cosby, apparently.
What?
Yes. Man. After telling us all to get off her back and shut up and innocent and proven guilty and he was never arrested and he's not in jail. Someone must have tapped her on the shoulder and said, statute of limitations really precludes Bill from going to jail on this. So yesterday on The View, she had a legal expert out.
Oh.
To talk about whether Cosby's victims had any further recourse in the court of laws, and when the guy pointed out that they didn't, she said, well, if the court of public appeal is their only option, then all the evidence does seem to prove to point to guilt. To which we said, duh!
Yeah, it sounds like she had a serious smackdown because they removed everyone and it was just her and the legal expert on the stage. So it was like, hey, we're going to have a little chat with you, Whoopi.
We're going to show you Whoopi's not crazy.
America.
Yeah. And so
do what you can to not screw this up.
Yeah.
So she's looks like she's come around.
Oh.
God bless her.
Yay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jesse the Body Ventura. Sure, he was a wrestler, but more importantly, he was a governor of the state of Minnesota.
Anybody can win.
Yeah. He's much crazier than Arnold, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
just
yeah. Way
nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah.
64
he's been
years old today.
Super fun when we've had him on the show in the past,
yeah.
Though, hasn't he?
Because he's crazy.
Is crazy,
exactly.
Yeah.
Terry O'Quinn from Lost is 63.
Oh, I love him so much.
All right.
You know, he's one of my all-time favorites.
All right.
Okay.
He's great in everything.
We'll make a note.
Everything.
Chip, write that down. What do you have about
he's
Terry
just one of those guys like Clark Gregg who just makes every project just so much
who
better.
Who makes notes? Do we have a note maker
yeah.
On the show? Is it Chip? Okay, make a note.
Forrest Whitaker's 54. Adam Savage of TV's Mythbusters is 48 years old. Comedian Eddie Griffin is 47. Scott Foley, actor, 43. Brian Austin Green, 42. John Dolmayan from System of a Down celebrates his 42nd birthday. Gabriel Iglesias is 39. And actress Diane Kruger also celebrates her 39th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
See you, Molly.
Hi, Molly.
Bye. We're just girls over here.
Hey, that was fun, and the book is available, and you should buy it. All right, speaking of fun things, how about this? How about a pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of the new film called Pixels, coming out from Sony Studios? You get to see it on the lot July 22nd. It's in theaters everywhere on July 24th. Kevin, I know this. Ralph described this movie to us this week. This is about aliens in space who misinterpret video games
yes.
Coming from Earth as an attack on them, right?
Yes, yes.
So what are we looking for the callers who may want to win these tickets?
They're going to have to identify older video games. I think most of these are like Pac-Man and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to play some sound effects from those games. You just have to be able to identify those games.
All right. So if you're a classic video game enthusiast, this is the game for you. Call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. You get a chance to play for Pixels tickets right after Walk the Moon on K-Rock. All right, here are your tickets for Pixels, featuring Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Michelle Monaghan, and so much more in theaters everywhere on July 24th. You get to see it on the Sony Studios lot on the 22nd with a game that we're calling Name of the Game.
That's the name of the game. Yo, in Pixels video games, try to kick our asses. Yeah. That's the name of the game. So name that video game and you will win movie passes. Yeah. That's the name of the game.
I love it when Omar raps.
This game seems like it's going to be, I mean, I guess it all depends on what kind of person we get on the phone, but for many of our listeners, this would be pretty easy, right? Like, you will never forget the sounds these classic video games make.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, though, that I would hear it and I would go, I totally know that. And then you would go, what's the name? And you go, I can't remember what the name of that is.
All right, let's give it a try. If you identify the classic video game sound, you win tickets to see Pixels. Who's up first?
Ian in Monterey Park. Hi there.
Hey, good morning.
All right, you understand the game? We're going to play you the sound. You got to tell us what video game it is.
All right, sounds good.
Here you go.
Pack that.
Sure.
Nicely done. You win the tickets.
Sweet.
All right. The clips are a little long. Johnny in Woodland Hills. Hi.
Good morning, Kevin DeBee.
You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here you go.
It's a beautiful sound.
Easily the worst. Oh,
ooh. Dude.
That's the worst video game ever.
It's the best.
Which is Frogger. So
sorry. Oh, my God.
Stupid little frog jumps.
Allie, why did you love Frogger so much?
Yeah,
you mentioned on the air that was your favorite. Why?
I just loved it. I thought it was so cute, and he'd just jump, and then he'd be squashed by a car, and ooh, lily pad. I mean, that's fun. It's fun.
Okay. All right, let's go to Mondo in Santa Clarita. Hi there.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Tell us the name of this game.
Galaga's
correct.
Nice
Nicely
job.
Done. You win. We have five pair. That's two winners. Let's go to Robert in Riverside. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Tell us the name of this game.
Alien Invasion?
I'm sorry, that's Asteroids.
Ah, dang.
Yeah, I was.
They don't make them like that anymore.
No, they don't. Mike in Inglewood.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Tell us the name of this game.
Is it Donkey Kong?
Yeah, it sure
is. It is Donkey Kong.
Thank you for the call, sir. You're going to see Pixels. You know what I love is that even though we live in a high-tech video game world now where, you know, it's Call of Duty and stuff like that, there's still a huge audience for these kinds of games. People are still playing these games on various platforms and online and whatnot. I mean, people still enjoy them so much, even though they're so low-tech.
Yeah, I was going to say low-tech. When you hear the sound of it, it's like, we ever played games that sounded this terrible?
I know.
It's so annoying. Let's go to Dan in Newport. Hi there.
Hey, Aftaf, how you doing?
We are good. Thank you. What's the name of this game?
Centipede?
It is Centipede.
Centipede. Wow. All right. That is what?
Four? Gorgeous way to wake up in the morning. That's four, yeah.
All right.
I want someone's alarm to have gone off during Centipede.
Paul in Hacienda Heights. Hi.
Hello.
All right. You ready for the name of the game?
I'm ready to give it a try, yeah.
Here you go. Unusually short compared to the other ones.
Yeah. Classic video game. What is it?
Oh man, no clue. Spy Hunter.
No, I'm sorry.
I know.
Street Fighter. Thank you. All right, let's go to Bill in Anaheim. Hi, Bill.
Hey, what's going on?
You ready?
Yeah.
What's the name of this game?
Wow.
I love that. That's got to be in the movie just based on the name of it, right? What is that, Bill?
That's Space Invaders?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you win tickets for Pixels, and thanks for playing the game.
Let me tell you a little something about that band right there, Imagine Dragons. First of all, they're awesome. Second of all, they're going to be here at K-Rock in the building next Thursday, live in the Red Bull Sound Space, and you can be there, too, all next week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Leading up to that day, we're going to give away tickets right here on the program for you to join Imagine Dragons in the Red Bull Sound Space. If you're not able to be there in person, of course, you can watch it at krock.com next Thursday, July 23rd.
There are a lot of bands that can't quite make – they don't quite sound like their CD does. They're not even that good. Mm-hmm. And then there are a lot of bands that are as good, and then there are some bands that just bring it. And that is Imagine Dragons. They are so
much better. Well, they're tremendous musicians.
Yep.
They really are great. All right, Ralph told us about this story yesterday, and we need to investigate it further because it is it's amazing the things that people complain about. And look, I get it. If you're a parent, you are sensitive to what your kids are exposed to. I totally get that. I think this guy is trying to come from the right place, but he's so clueless that he doesn't understand that the thing that he is complaining about is a thing that passed into popular culture and is acceptable for all ages and has been for 35 years. Listen to this story out of a television station in Philadelphia.
It's pretty inappropriate.
A single dad was shocked to see this on the toy aisle shelf. A Hasbro-made Star Wars Black Series action figure of Princess Leia, wearing what the box described as a slave outfit.
I got two daughters. I don't need seeing that crap.
The toy features a scantily clad version of Princess Leia, complete with a chain around her neck. The toy that even has Dad blushing.
And they're like, Dad, why does this doll have a chain around her neck? I don't have any answers. You know what I mean? I'm just like blown away looking at it.
Oh my God.
What?
I didn't see Return of the Jedi. I don't know.
Why is this nice lady chained up? What's going on? So, Allie, you're the furthest thing from a mother, but how would you explain
what
to your
is
little,
wrong with you?
How would you explain to your little daughters why Princess Leia has a chain around her neck?
I wouldn't have to, because my kids would be raised right, because they would have seen Return of the Jedi
hundreds
and
of times.
They'd be like, "Oh, look at this! Let's get this one, Mom." And I'd be like, "You have that one," and then we'd get ice cream.
And by the way, it's fiction, and she was a slave.
Yeah.
So
when Jabba the Hutt captures you, he's going to put you in what he wants you in, and that is
correct.
A bikini.
All right,
exactly. Bikini. So we wanted to get to the bottom of this story. So we asked Dave, is there any chance we could talk to Mr. Fred Hill? He's the man who was shopping at Target store with his daughters and was just outraged by the Princess Leia doll. And Mr. Hill joins us on K-Rock right now. Hi, Fred. Thanks for the time, sir.
How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Well, we're doing fine. Is it still a big story out there, or have things calmed down a little bit now that you've been on TV?
Well, you know, we talked to Toys R Us, and they're not going to take the toy off the shelves, so there's not much we can do, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And you were offended for your daughters. Why? Why did you think the little girl shouldn't have seen this toy?
Well, this girl in the doll is a girl, and she's got some kind of bikini on. She's got a chain around her neck. You know, my daughter's like, why is this you know, girl have a chain around her neck? I don't have any answers for that.
Well, have you not seen any of the Star Wars movies, specifically the one that this is from Return of the Jedi?
No, look, I'm sorry. I haven't seen every movie ever made, okay? So I don't know this character,
pretty big movie.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't go to theaters a lot, so was it now? Do I go see it now?
I think 32 years ago.
Well, sorry, Jules Verne. I don't have a time machine, you know?
That's a good reference.
I can't just go anywhere I want to go, you know? I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
Okay. I don't mean to be insensitive, but I notice that you are a single dad. Is this why your wife left you?
Look, I don't know why she left me. I don't have any answers for that. I don't know.
You don't have any answers for that either.
Came along one day, she was gone. I don't know where she is. I don't have any answers for that. I got two daughters. I don't need her seeing that crap, you know?
Okay. It's got to be pretty tough. It's a full-time job raising those little girls, right?
It is. The toy store is a nightmare. You go in there, you see all these kinds of things, and, you know, the girls are asking me, you know, like there's a spring, right? And you got a spring, and you take it out of a box, and it walks downstairs alone or in pairs.
Yeah, it's
like,
a slinky.
Yeah,
it's
well,
just a slinky.
Well, sorry, future man. I don't know what that thing is. And girls like, why does the, you know, spring go down the stairs? I'm like, I don't have any answers for that. I don't know.
I think the slinky's been around for like 50 years, Fred.
Yeah,
I mean,
like it's a circle you put around your waist, and you like move your hips, and it goes around in a circle.
That's a hula hoop.
Girls like, why do you put that on your hips, Dad? I was like, I don't know. I have any answers for that. I don't know what that
is. It's just a hula hoop. It's not going to hurt anybody. They just let the kids play with it. They would enjoy it.
There's a guy in another aisle. The guy is, I don't know, he's supposed to be fighting crime or something. He's dressed up like a giant bat. I'm like, why is he dressing like a bat? I'm like, I don't know. I have any answers for that.
You've heard of Batman, Fred. Everybody's heard of Batman.
Oh, I'm sorry, Albert Einstein. I don't know everybody who ever lived. Okay, I don't have any answers for that.
Do you have access to an internet of any kind at your house?
Sorry, George Jetson. No, I don't have magical computers in my house. I don't know. And well, they got these horses, little horses. They're all different colors. Like, Daddy, why is that horse pink? You know, horses are brown. Like, I don't know. I have any answers for that.
That's my pretty pony.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm not an equestrian.
Right, you don't have to ride horses to identify something that's been a childhood toy for decades. So, look, you have a television set, right? You must see some things.
Then we're at a supermarket. The girl's like, Daddy, you know, milk comes from cows. Why is that milk in a cardboard box? I'm like, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
How do you not have any answers for anything?
I thought eggs come from chickens. Why are they in that cardboard box with, the holes in it? It's like, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
Because that's how they transport them to the market so that you can buy them.
But it's supposed to be from chickens, you know? I got two daughters. I don't even see any of that crap. I need to see where chickens lay eggs, you know?
It's just an egg container. That's all it is.
And they point in the sky and say, what's that metal tube with wings on it carrying people?
It's just an airplane.
Like, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that. You know, people aren't supposed to fly. They're supposed to walk.
Right.
And they go to their friend's house, and instead of candles, they got these little glass balls with, like, flame inside of them. You throw a switch on, and light comes out of them.
Yeah.
Like, what the? I don't need two daughters. I don't need my two daughters seeing that kind of crap. I don't need answers for that. I don't know how the magic light comes out of the glass ball. I don't know how that works.
Why would you not want your daughters to have a light bulb?
Then they go and use their friends, you know, they go to the bathroom with their friends. And they say, Daddy, you got a thing that you poop in a thing and you hit up a handle and the water takes the poop
away. Toilet.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
What?
I got two daughters. I don't even see in that crap.
Literally?
Whatever happened to taking your feces and making, you know, statues of the U.S. presidents out of it?
What?
That's not a thing.
We do at our house.
What?
We take our poop and we make statues out of it.
Okay, this just got weird.
The old-fashioned way, you know? I got two daughters. I don't even see in that crap. I just finished Millard Fillmore. It looks great.
Good talking to you.
One time Bean said that was 21 Palms. What an idiot, right?
I think it was you.
Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock.
You, 650.
That's one of my favorite taunts in all of sports. Somebody does something boneheaded. They go, you. And the guy knows it's him.
Hey, K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015 is happening, you guys. Stop number two is the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're talking about Imagine Dragons, Kendrick Lamar, and Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Death Cab, Major Lazer, so much more. We want you to qualify for that at 9 o'clock this morning, every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9. We're talking about three-day passes and airfare and hotel, the whole deal if you win the grand prize, which we'll do the drawing for Monday morning. Get all the details at krock.com. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on Wednesday.
Don't forget, Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Los Angeles this weekend, Friday night, 10 p.m. Smith and I will be giving you our take on all things Hollywood as he gets irreparably stoned and I get deeply, deeply drunk. We have a good time. Come out to the Improv on Melrose Friday night, 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com for more details and to get your tickets. We'd love to see you come out. And if you're a Kevin Smith fan, I think I've convinced him to show the trailer for his new film, Yoga Hosers, Friday night. So,
all right.
It's only been seen in Hall H at Comic-Con so far. So if you want to, an early sneak peek of that, come out and see us on Friday night.
I hope he gets cancer.
Wow.
Wow.
That's wildly inappropriate. And I will not stand for it. Who is less happy about Kim Kardashian being on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine than Sinead O'Connor? I don't think anyone. I think she's the most unhappy about it. I'm not pleased, but she takes it to Garmin-type levels of frustration and anger.
Wow. Yes. Oh, dear.
Sinead O'Connor not happy at all with the cover of Rolling Stone. On her latest Facebook post, she writes, and I quote, "What is this C word? In parentheses, I don't smile much because it causes wrinkles. Doing on the cover of Rolling Stone. Music has officially died. Who knew it would be Rolling Stone that murdered it? Simon Cowell and Lewis Walsh can no longer be expected to take all the blame. Bob Dylan must be effing horrified. Hashtag boycott Rolling Stone. Hashtag a generation is being groomed and silenced."
Wow.
Was she the last person to get the memo that Rolling Stone has not been about rock and roll for about 25 years?
I think she was, yeah. I think she still thinks Rolling Stone is a music magazine, and it hasn't really been that for a while. It hasn't really been relevant for a while. It's kind of People Magazine-esque these days. Hey, look, at least it's not the guy who did the Boston bombings. That was a worse cover than this one.
Yeah, all right.
So they've done worse work.
They have done worse.
Not much, but there was that one.
Sure, yeah.
That one guy was worse than this cover. Look, I understand her frustration. I think the Kardashianization of America is a national nightmare.
Having said that, if you were running Rolling Stone magazine and your job was to sell magazines or get people to go to your website, wouldn't you be tempted to put Kim Kardashian on the cover?
Having said that, if I was the publisher of Rolling Stone magazine, I would absolutely put Kim Kardashian on my cover.
Having said that, right. I would as well.
Yeah. Margot Robbie, she's a lovely and talented actress. She, of course, was the big hit at Comic-Con when they showed the teaser trailer for the Suicide Squad movie that's coming out. She says that Jared Leto gave everyone gifts on the set. He, of course, plays the Joker in that film. And in keeping with his character, he sent gifts to all of his castmates in the character of the Joker.
Penis.
So he would give you whatever the Joker would give you. In Kevin's case, it would give him a penis.
Hmm.
In Margot Robbie's case, he gave her a rat.
Oh.
And she
Dead or alive?
Alive. And she says she has kept the rat, and it's now her best friend and pet.
What sad.
Says she feeds it organic berries from Whole Foods.
Wait, it's her best friend?
Yep. She loves the rat, and the rat's her pet now, and she loves the gift, and she has a pet rat now that she feeds organic berries from Whole Foods and has named the rat. Any guesses at what she's named the rat?
Jared.
Oh, that would be good. No, she's named him Rat.
What?
Which is the least imaginative name I could... Well, no. I guess Rat would be the least imaginative name, but Rat comes close. So Rat the Rat is now living happily nestled in Margot Robbie's bosom.
Hmm. There should be a board that should send her back and go, come up with another one and come back to us.
We're going to take the rat away from you unless you come up with a better name.
Give us a better name and then we'll move on.
That's right. ABC Family has renewed its series Stitchers for a second season. How is there a whole network on television with television programs that I've never heard of before that just keep getting renewed?
I've seen I believe a billboard for that show.
For Stitchers?
I believe so. Or the woman's face is sort of being... I think it's the woman's face is sort of being stretched. I think.
That would be Stretchers.
I don't know.
That's right. It wouldn't be Stitchers at all.
I don't know.
You're not thinking of the sneakers, are you? Those are Skechers. Those are different,
Nope,
Kevin.
I'm not thinking of the sneakers,
You
no.
sure?
It's very possible that I'm mistaken, but if that's not correct, then I have no idea what it is.
It may be. It's about a woman who is recruited into a secret government agency, and she is stitched into the minds of the recently dead, using their memories to investigate murders and solve mysteries.
Hmm. And that's my type of show.
Show stars Emma Ishta. Come on, now you're just making things up.
Go back to the board with the names.
And that she's the woman who gets stitched into the minds of the recently dead.
Hmm.
But she gains their memories and she fights crime.
That's iZombie.
That's iZombie, yeah.
She doesn't eat the brains. Oh. She just gets stitched into the brains.
All right.
That's the picture.
That's the picture. Look, her face is coming off. Kevin's right. I thought that was an ad for cosmetics. It's like some lotion that just hydrates your skin, it would look like to me. But what do I know? It's called Stitchers, and it is being brought back for a second season.
It's been renewed. Fantastic.
Yes, because the ABC Family juggernaut just keeps on. With that 1-2 combo of Baby Daddy and Stitchers, that's all you need. How is this a network, and what's happening?
They play What's Happening?
Oh, I wish.
Stop.
Now, the only show I know for sure on ABC Family, and I know it's very popular, is Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, right.
That's a thing. And we all acknowledge that that's a thing that we've heard of and know about. But sure. All these other shows that you keep making up, like Baby Daddy, I don't know where you're getting those
from. Well, Stitchers, apparently. People are loving Stitchers.
All right.
And everyone needs to stop saying how good Elle McPherson looks at the age of 51. This is like the thing all over the internet. Look at her. She's 51. Look at her. She wears a bikini. She still looks great. She's 51, but she looks great. She's looked great her whole life. Whatever age she was,
yeah. She
looked better than you at that age. So it's no surprise if she looked better than you at 27, she's going to look better than you at 51. She's Elle McPherson. The supermodels win every time, no matter what the age is.
True, but isn't the point most mortals, by time they get to be 50, start to show a little bit of decline?
Right, but by supermodel, she is... By definition, not mortal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And she has shown some decline from her 25-year-old self to her 51-year-old mm-hmm. self. Everyone just saying, for 51, she looks amazing. She looks better than most 51-year-olds. Yeah, of course she does. She's always looked better than everyone else all the time.
Yeah, that's
all models will look better than us in perpetuity.
So what's an appropriate compliment for Elle McPherson at her age?
Hey, there's Elle McPherson. Great.
Still awesome.
Moving on.
All right.
Come on. Let's not spend any time telling each other how good supermodels look.
Can we say,
brr? Yes, of course. Right. That's the proper response. Then followed by a big faint, and then a ow!
Oh, you guys are already preparing my Obit package.
Sorry. Get your greatest hits.
Get us started
together,
on that. We don't have time.
Time for the ducks.
These are real sneezes, people. We're not making this up. We did not alter them in any way. We just recorded them.
Followed by real agony. It's not even the sneezes that bother me.
It's the agony?
Yes.
It's the pain? Sorry. So where did the come from? That's what you want to know.
It's the mystery.
Sorry. Guess we did have time.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jesse Ventura, the body. He is 64 years old today. Terry O'Quinn is 63. Forrest Whitaker, 54 years old. TV host Adam Savage turns 48. Eddie Griffin is 47. Scott Foley's 43. Brian Austin Green of 90210 fame is 42. John Dolmayan from System of a Down. 42 years old. Gabriel Iglesias, our friend.
Fluff.
Friend Gabriel, 39. And Diane Kruger, also 39. I'm Ralph.
She looks good for 39.
She looks good for 39, right? Doesn't she? Wow, look at all the other 39-year-olds and look at her. She is in the top echelon.
Our friend Beer Mug, who's been with the show for how long now, Mugs?
Well, I started interning in 2008 and then every day since 2011.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We make bad decisions, Bean.
We certainly do. And it's funny because my sentence was going to finish with Beer Mug, who's been working with us for a long time, makes bad decisions.
Yeah.
And he really does. He's made so many bad decisions since we've known him. And he came to us a couple of months ago and he says, guys, I got it. A part-time job. I'm going to be an Uber driver. To which Ralph replied, you mean a Juber driver? And we all got a big laugh about it. And then we thought we'd hear nothing of it. But sure enough, the boy has done it. The boy is now an Uber driver. And that's what he does when he leaves the show now, is drive people around. And so far, so good. Right, Munch?
Can you imagine? You click on that link and you pick the driver and he's only a mile away and he comes and Beer Mug shows
my
up.
My face pops up on your app.
Oh, my God.
What was the learning curve like? I'm fascinated with this this aspect of the new economy where people can just work whenever they want and make as much as they want and use their own car and not report to a boss. I mean, there's a lot of positives involved. As somebody who doesn't know anything about it, it seems on the outside like it's a pretty good deal. What was the learning curve like to get up to speed and be ready to go into service, Muggs?
About a day. You learn all the little insides and outs. You know, when you pick up a rider, make sure not to begin the trip until you guys are in the car, seatbelt on, and ready to go. And you end the trip right when you arrive to the destination. Because if you...
It's not a given?
Well, no, because if you just drop the passenger off and keep driving, and you have to end the trip yourself. You can keep driving and overcharge the rider.
Right.
Therefore,
what do you mean by end the trip? You mean you have to hit a button?
Yeah, you slide a button and it'll end the trip. It'll cut off the charge. And if you don't do that, they'll be overcharged, therefore giving you a lower rating. They could give you a lower rating, thinking that you overcharged them. Okay. There's just little things, you know, just be... polite, happy, fun, nice.
Do they say do you have to wear something special?
No. Make sure I don't, make sure I don't smell too bad.
But, Did they say make sure you don't smell too bad?
Too bad, yeah.
You can show up in shorts and a t-shirt to drive an Uber?
Shorts, t-shirt, flip-flops.
I
had an Uber driver driving me barefoot.
I have never had an Uber driver who has picked me up in anything less than long pants and a collared shirt.
Well, because you get the Uber
because there's
black
a black car and there's
the
limo, so yeah. There's a bunch of different kinds. This is the Muggs Mobile.
Yeah, the Uber X is the most laid back of all the Ubers.
Are you required in your Uber to provide water, magazines, anything like that?
You're not required, but it is recommended.
Do you?
I do. I have water. I have three different kind of phone chargers for the Samsung, iPhone,
right.
And I have napkins, pen, and a paper.
What about mints?
I don't have mints.
Get mints.
I know. I need to get mints.
Say napkins. Mugs, were you nervous the first time you went to pick up a ride? Because you're about to let a stranger in your car, and there's some room for a problem there.
Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking. You know, it was my first time jumping into this venture. And
you felt like you were picking up a hitchhiker, I bet.
Sort of, but I mean, not really, because you're getting paid. But it is still you want everything to go. You want everything to go well.
Can you imagine? Muggs is all nervous. He talks to people. He'll talk to a stranger for the rest of that stranger's life unless he cuts him off. Can you imagine that in the car? So where are you going? Oh, that's a great place. I've been there.
Yeah. That's the other thing I'm learning,
too. Have you ever been there before?
That's the kind of...
Yeah, you know what you should look for? I love it. Yeah.
I'm learning how to gauge...
Outrageous.
I'm learning how to...
That's fantastic.
I'm learning how to gauge the passenger.
You're
on
not
when
learning
I
how to gauge
yeah, no,
any
I,
of
I
that.
Am, I am.
You've never learned how to gauge us.
You've never learned how to shut up.
By the way, we want to hear from you if you are driving a rideshare vehicle. If you're a Lyft driver, Uber driver, or something like that. No taxis, right? We're not looking for taxis.
Right, not taxis, right.
Because we're looking for – yeah, okay. So give us a call if you have any funny stories of things that have happened to you at 1-800-520-1067, particularly if it was girls making out. But tell me about the bad experience you had over the weekend, Muggs, which I'm sure you knew was a possibility, but you were hoping wouldn't happen for a while.
Was this weekend one?
This was
is this the first
weekend two.
Weekend two. Okay.
Weekend two. So right. I was about 12 or 13 rides into my Uber career.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday after the show, I decided, hey, you know, it's Friday. I bet you there's going to be a lot of potential out there. So I go. I get great passengers, great trips. I go from the Valley to LAX, Culver City to Manhattan Beach, making
like
money.
I'd like to hear their story.
Making money. Oh, they were super, super, super
that
cool.
I wouldn't shut up.
I took two guys to the Dodger game.
We don't care about the good ones.
But, okay, so everything is going well. I was getting tired at this point. It was like 7 o'clock at night. I was like, you know, I'm going to go home, take a shower, get freshened up, go back out. So I go back out, pick up one guy for like $5, take him to the bar. And I'm driving around. I'm like, you know what? I'm almost at $100 for the day.
Like you put it over the top?
Yeah. I was like, you know what? Let's go. Let's break 100. Let's do this.
So, how far does this story go before we actually get to what we want?
Here we go.
Okay.
We're several minutes deep already.
I have to make you relive my experience of how good I was feeling.
No, you don't.
Nope, because if you don't get to the part of the story that we want, we're going to tell it.
Okay. So I get a call, which I was not about to take. Pick up these two, like, probably...
And one of them threw up in his car.
Yes.
You're a terrible storyteller.
I had to build up suspense.
You don't have to. We just told you that.
Come on.
You could say, I just started driving Uber. This was my 11th or 12th ride, and a girl threw up in my car. Boom!
That's not exciting.
That would have ended 10 minutes ago.
That's a boring story, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
So two ladies in your car. How old are they?
they're probably in their early 20s, college girls.
They're both super drunk.
One of them is. One of them was sober, talking me up the whole time.
Sure.
Talking
trying
about
to get a date, I'm sure.
Women's World Cup and music and stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving, everything's good, and it's quiet. And I hear her friend whispering. And I turn around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before I get a chance to see, like, oh crap, she was eating like carrots and stuff in a plate. She started throwing up in the plate all over my seat. And the bottle of water that I supply to my passengers, after she threw up everywhere, she thought it would be a good idea to pour the water on the seat and try to brush it off. So she's now pushing all the vomit onto the floor and rubbing it into the seat even more.
And this is not just your work vehicle. This is your car.
This is my car that I've invested money into.
Dude. So what's the protocol?
Who's hungry?
What's the protocol when that happens? Are you instructed how to handle a situation?
You take a picture, and you send it into Uber. They have a whole...
What do you say to the passenger, though?
You kind of have to remain professional. I remain pretty professional.
Really? Because you're afraid of a bad rating?
Yeah. Well, like, at that point, I was just, like, I was just upset, so I was just
I was like, hey, there's a window.
I rolled out the
window.
Here's the great part. Here's the great
part. How are you just getting to the great part?
Here's the great part.
You started this story yesterday.
After she threw up in the car, after it was everywhere, her friend's like, could you open the window? Could you open the window, maybe? And then... Here we go. The girl that threw up after she did, she's like, I feel like $1 million.
Let's go out.
Oh my god.
Can you now take us to a nightclub?
Oh my god. So I dropped them off at her location. It wasn't far away from when she did it to where I dropped her off. So, and then I took a picture immediately, sent it into Uber, and they charged the rider a cleaning/damage fee.
Okay, and how much was that?
It ranges from $50 to $200.
Okay,
and I got the full $200.
$200.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah,
and how much did it cost you to get it cleaned out or have
well,
you?
Well, let's just say...
Because Mug strikes me as the kind of guy who's like, you know what? She poured some water on it.
Yeah.
That's good.
It cost me a little more. I got a kind of a fast shuffle on my detailing job. But I've been actually detailing my car that I'm probably going to go into the detailing business after this because my car is
spotless
now.
What's he talking about?
So you're going to do the radio show. Then you're going to go out and do Uber the afternoon. And then at night you'll have a car detailing business.
I've cleaned my car. There's no remnants of puke. I had passengers in there yesterday. They couldn't smell it. So I'm good, but it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare for my early on career as an Uber driver, like you said, Bean.
Okay,
I was expecting that later in life.
Yeah. So it sounds like you like the job though.
No, it's great. It's awesome because you make your own hours. Besides, you know, the puke and the vomit. That was only 10:45 at night. I mean, I expect that. You know, after midnight, but I think I'm just going to do it.
I like that you still had a buffer.
I think I'm going to, you know, when I get off here around 11.
Lord knows Muggs doesn't drink before midnight. I know that for a fact. All right. Well, listen.
Thank you, Muggs.
You got to take a break.
We want to take your calls if you are an Uber driver and you've had a story that we need to hear about, something that happened while you were driving a rideshare vehicle. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Quick break. Your call's next on K-Rock.
A pretty great batch of Would You Like to Take That Back coming up in about 15 minutes.
Looking forward to that, aren't you, Allie?
I think he means you and Ralph.
Plus Adam Carolla on the program as well.
Here's what I'll tell you. Bean is going – he's coming back hard for the title. He's not going to let you just walk in here and take it.
God,
that's what
you.
I'm going to tell you.
Hey, 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number here at the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're looking for calls from Uber and Lyft drivers about your experiences. Muggs got thrown up on in his first week on the job. Let's start with Brian on line one, please. He's in Redondo Beach. Sounds like he is also taking a ride on the vomitorium in the case of driving an Uber car. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey guys, Allie, Ralph. So my first week, it was my last moment of the night, and I go, you know, I'm going to take one more ride. And I picked up a drunk girl getting kicked out of a bar for being underage in Manhattan Beach, and she's going to LMU. So we're talking about her major, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden she gets silent, and I'm like, what happened? And I look back, and she's passed out. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm all, Emily, you got to wake up. I don't know the campus. She's all, Rosecrans. I'm like, No, we're not. It's not Rosecrans. Okay. We're on Lincoln. And she's like, and so we're right by the north runway, and I hear my window go down, and I go, oh, for a split second, I go, oh, she's there. And I go, no, she doesn't. And I look back, and she's throwing up all over the side of my car. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I go into the campus. I don't know where I'm going, right? So I go to the first
set of dorms, and it's like a circle.
I can't.
And I pull into the circle.
How come?
Is your problem that his his beer mug like storytelling abilities?
We don't need this in real time.
So I pull there, and she's like sitting there. Shut up, guys. So anyway, so 5 minutes, she's sitting in the back of my car trying to figure out where she is. I'm like, can you call a friend? Nope. So finally she goes, okay, I'm good. And so she gets out.
All right.
And I'd never looked at her. And she's wearing the shortest shorts and high heels. And
all
she
right.
wobbled
Thank
off.
You for the call. You did get an extra 2 minutes for telling us to shut up. But
thank you, Brian. We appreciate you listening.
When that ran out. She peed herself was the end of his story. Dear God,
right,
people.
Which right. we would never have
Listen,
gotten to it.
Storytelling. Here's what you do. We know you picked somebody up. We know it was most likely the last one of the night because something bad happened. So that's all a given. So get right to the part.
Don't we need to turn-by-turn directions
no.
of what street you were on when you picked them up and where you were taking them?
No, we don't need any of that.
And whether you knew how to get there or not?
It went south. You start your story 10 seconds before it went south.
Let's go to Valencia on line 3 and speak with our friend Kim. Now, Kim, let me ask you this first up. Are there a lot of female Uber drivers? Because that seems like it might be dangerous.
There are actually.
I've
there
seen a lot. Mm-hmm. I've ridden with a lot of female.
Okay,
drivers.
And you have you had any have you ever had any sketchy moments? Any problems being out there being a woman driving an Uber?
No, actually, I haven't. I kind of stay in Valencia, so I don't get a whole lot of sketchy people.
Okay, all right. So what happened? Why are you calling us?
Okay, well, before my shift started, before I went on my seat. Someone had been sitting in my front seat and had reclined it a little bit, and I forgot to change it. So the first person that gets in is a guy, and he asks me, oh, are you providing services as well?
What?
Meaning
he expected me to... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you had the passenger seat was down when he got in? Is that why?
Yeah, it was reclined.
I see.
How much did you get for that? All right. Good chat.
I feel like this is going great. Let's go to Jeff, line 7, please, in North Hollywood. This sounds like a crazy story, and if well told, it will be entertaining to all. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was a getaway driver for
Wait, hold on a second. You were a getaway driver? Somebody used you as their getaway vehicle?
Yeah, I
Good. Phone doesn't work good. So you were you were a getaway driver for
like they're allegedly tweet.
All right,
I just I can't.
Right. I what's this is all because of Muggs' storytelling, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is. Muggs cursed us. All right, line 4, please, Placentia. Let's try Steve. I have a good feeling about Steve.
Your enthusiasm knows no bounds, Bean.
This is going to turn it around, man. This is going to be the one that's going to save the segment. Steve, it's on you, son.
Hey guys, yeah. So I've been driving Uber for like 2 weeks. I picked up this couple out in Hawaiian Gardens. That was probably the biggest problem. They were actually going to Long Beach. And
which?
So
how did you get to Long Beach? Which freeway did you take? Or did they make you take street?
We don't need that, Kevin. We don't need that, Steve. All right. Well, we're assuming that you were driving Uber. We're assuming that you picked up a passenger. Then what happened, Steve?
So they're yelling at each other in my backseat the entire way. And it was probably about a 20-mile drive. And with about 10 minutes left, you know, the girl actually starts slapping the guy around. And
whoa.
It got real awkward. I pulled over. The guy's like, he just gets out of my car. And so I was like, okay, I guess this ends the ride. And sure enough, the girl stays there in my back seat and was like, you can keep going. And
so you were basically a witness to them breaking up is what it sounds like.
Pretty much. And so it was the most awkward, probably 10 minutes ride from when I dropped the guy off and took the girl to where she was going, and super awkward.
Yeah.
But,
hey, let me ask you this, Steven. I can't believe I'm asking you, of all people, a follow-up question. But is it kind of fun to eavesdrop on all the conversations that are happening in the backseat of your car when you get multiple passengers? I think that would be one of the draws of the job.
Oh, it totally is. Being a fly on the wall, it's pretty funny. I've heard a conversation, two rich white kids from Newport talking about rap in detail and just breaking it down to the classics, to, you know, 1980s hip-hop and rap. And
thank you for participating in the Kevin and Bean Show. Your call is important to us. Unfortunately, you can't tell a f***ing
important story.
Oh, come on.
The relentless tedium of your story is making us all sick. We here at the Kevin and Bean Show would rather plunge heavy-gauge sewing needles into our eyes than listen to you for one moment longer. But please continue to hold, and one of our semi-competent representatives will be on the line to give you a prize of little to no value. Once again, thank you for calling Kevin and Bean, but please never, never call us again.
I think it went well. Look, Kevin gets made fun of a lot on this show, and he takes it like a champ. He's got a really good attitude.
Well, what choice does he have?
I earn it.
A new line of work? He's got two choices. New line of work or just take it.
You either laugh or you cry, I guess, when it gets to that point, Kevin. But you must love this segment because it's not about you. It's about the rest of us. When you ask us, would you like to take that back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you, could you take that back?
So we say it on the radio, and of course, in the heat of conversation in a 5-hour daily radio show, sometimes we say things that don't come out exactly the way we hoped or aren't well received. So this is an opportunity for us to have a second chance at that, to hear it back and then go, well, upon reflection, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that, and take it back or stand up for it and say, I support what I said.
I'm not exactly sure then how to do the Ralph Bean joint, which is the first one.
Huh.
Well, they both are in on it. I was complaining about not wanting to see Love and Mercy. My wife took me to it with some friends, and I ended up loving it. And then Ralph was doing this.
It was pretty good. I actually enjoyed it.
So what, you'd think after the 40th, 50th time that happens, you would stop...
You would think
you
that.
You would stop resisting going to see a small little feature film that you wouldn't ordinarily go to.
Would you say you had fun, fun, fun?
Oh, man. Getting no good vibrations in that joke at all. Oh, I know.
Would you like to take that back?
All right, so I guess we start with Bean.
First of all, we should mention, Kevin, Love and Mercy is the story of Brian Wilson, the leader of the Beach Boys.
Who gives a crap? I'm talking about...
it's germane to the jokes that we made.
To the jokes, because you didn't set up what the movie was about. That's why we were making the Beach Boys song title jokes. No, I'm perfectly fine with fun, 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 and I'm going to be very disappointed if Ralph walks back in Good Vibrations as well. I thought that was very legitimate.
No, I'm completely happy with Good Vibrations.
All right. No one's
taking it back.
With either one of them. No, not at all.
All right, number two is a Bean and Ralph joint.
Oh, come on.
Ralph is talking about the fact that George Michael had to check into rehab.
George has not made an official statement about this, but those close to him say he is in rehab and in dire need of it, so they're applauding his move. They say, will it work this time, rehab? Well, you got to have faith, I guess. So we'll just wait and see.
Does he have a father figure that's helping him through this, Ralph? Does the article say? Or
rehab's hard because he's just a sleeping in.
Oh,
but
geez. Here.
He had to leave. He had to leave word for them to wake him up before.
How you gonna finish this?
Before he'd go.
Would you like to take that back?
I guess we got to start with Bean.
Love it. Couldn't love it anymore. Would do it again if I had the opportunity.
Back to Ralph.
Faith I'll keep.
Okay.
Wake me up before I go. I may have overreached.
You going to throw that one back in the pot?
I may like that one stricken from the record.
The next one is Allie. Ralph was talking about J-Lo selling her house to Phil Collins for, I don't know, $1 billion or something. Ralph was explaining the house.
12,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 8 full bathrooms, 3 half bathrooms, a view of the Miami skyline, interior courtyard, koi pond, cabana, outdoor kitchen, boat dock. The closet alone in the master suite measures roughly 1,000 square feet of space.
The closet?
The closet. The walk-in closet has 1,000 square feet of space.
No stew studio?
ow!
No?
Would you like to take that back?
Allie?
See, because it's Phil Collins' house, you guys.
That's so awesome. Hell no.
I think I'm with you on that.
That's pretty awesome.
I think I'm with you on that. Worked it right in. This one I'm not even going to give Bean a chance to take back because the because the listener slaps him down.
Let's try to get a couple more into the drawing. How about Jose from Buena Park? He's our next contestant.
Jose?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Can you see?
Just barely. You know, it's the first time I've heard that.
I bet it is.
Would you like to take that back?
So we're just assuming yes on that one.
I'm going to take that back. Look, I hate that. I hate what people go through who have that kind of name where people will always make some stupid joke when they meet
but
him.
But it and doesn't stop you from making that joke.
I was that guy, and I accept your score. Yes, I take it back.
This one is Allie.
Yeah.
Ralph is talking about Ariana Grande and the donut licking thing.
I barely knew who you were until you started licking donuts. No one's paying attention to you. This may have all been a part of a grand scheme.
Wow.
All right, grande scheme. Oh, sorry. Wow, I'm going to go.
Would you like to take that back?
You, in fact, did not go.
Nope.
You're still here.
Would you like to take that back?
Listen, was it great? No.
That's not debating. We're not debating that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take that back.
Yay!
There you go. Good. All right. Now, Ralph is talking about the Rivers Cuomo TV show.
Yeah.
That Fox was going to put on, and then they did the show, and Fox turned it down.
They did a pilot, mm-hmm. but Fox decided not to go forward with the series. Yeah.
And Beam was talking about that.
People would never stop being amazed that you were in their chem class.
Right. Yeah, there has been no official statement from the brass over there at Fox, but I would look. I'm really interested to know what does the Fox say.
Put it
what
in the file.
The
would you like to take that back?
Hell no.
No.
What about on the delivery?
No, the delivery. I stumbled a bit.
All right.
It sounded like you did not have confidence in your material.
I think I stuck the landing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I was a little shaky on the vault, on the pommel horse, but I think I stuck the landing, so I'm going to go with it.
All right, we have one left, and it's Bean. And Ralph, set up Mr. Scaramanga.
Scaramanga.
Thank you.
Scaramanga is the villain from the James Bond movie, The Man with the Golden Gun. Christopher Lee played him. He's an assassin who kills with a golden gun, as you can imagine, and has three nipples.
All right. Yeah. And we were talking about that.
And he'd go through, like, airports and stuff, be like, right this way, Mr. Scaramanga. And then he would just assemble his golden gun and kill you with one golden bullet.
Did Mr. Scaramanga do the Fandango?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Is that in a gentle connection to Scaramouche?
Yeah!
Do the Fandango?
No.
From Bohemian Rhapsody? Is that just the most just vague sort of connection? Is that where that came from?
It was meant to be, yes.
Because they both have Scara at the beginning of their names?
No!
You're a bad, bad man.
Would you like to take that back?
Oh, man, I'm right on the fence. You're on the
right
fence?
On the fence.
Wow.
Like
you're on the fence on
yeah.
that one?
Wow.
I kind
you
of
should
like
be impaled on a fence. You should fall on a wrought iron fence out of a window.
But I could also argue against it as well. I am going to say, in the interest of keeping the union together, I will take that back, yes.
Thank God.
Wow.
Thank God.
How could you even hesitate?
And by the way, we have a whole nother file that I didn't have time to play right now, so we'll have to do that another time.
So you're saying we're good?
I'm saying we're really good and things are going well.
Wow.
It's a good song right there.
That's how it should end it.
What?
That's how that should end.
Okay. You're saying the S word every day now.
No, I said that's how it should have ended.
All right, good. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's World Famous K-Rock at 7:55.
Adam Carolla, the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we're going to give you a chance to win Disneyland annual passes. That's coming up. And check this out. Gwyneth Paltrow teaches us how to yawn in the next 10 minutes. Gwyneth Paltrow says we've been yawning all wrong. Mm-hmm. She's put out instructions on Goop how we're supposed to be doing it. We'll discuss coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on Wednesday.
Before I get to the show business news, how about Hollywood Babylon, the show I do with Kevin Smith? We're bringing it back to L.A. this Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. We always have a good time at this show. We'd love to have you come out and join us. And a special little treat if you're a Kevin Smith fan. I think I've convinced him on Friday night to bring along his Yoga Hosers trailer. This is his new feature film, and he's got some footage to show. And he showed it at Comic-Con, but he hasn't put it online or any place since. So if you'd like to see that, you can come out Friday. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. So You can go to improv.com to get information and tickets for Hollywood Babylon tonight. Friday night at 10 p.m. But today I also have tickets to give away to a very special theatrical event that's happening at the Hollywood Bowl. For three performances only, Eric Idle is mounting his classic Broadway musical, Spamalot.
Yay!
The musical, of course, based on one of my favorite movies of all time, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. The story of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. As you can imagine, looking for the Holy Grail. Very funny cast. Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family is going to be in this. Warwick Davis, of course, you know as Wicket the Ewok, but also very funny in his own right on, Life is Short, I guess it was called, right?
That's
he did
right,
Richard
yeah.
Gervais, he did that series.
He was so funny on that.
So funny
I saw
on
that one,
show.
Yeah.
And Craig Robinson also in the cast. If you'd like to go see Monty Python Spamalot at the Hollywood Bowl on August the 1st, I want to give it to a real Python fan. So I'm going to ask a little trivia question. If you get the right answer at the and you call on that 1-800-520-1067, you're going to get a pair of tickets. Monty Python, of course, one of my favorite comedy groups of all time. Python, a British comedy legend. However, there is an American in Monty Python. If you know the American in the British comedy group Monty Python, give a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. That caller will win tickets to see Spamalot.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He was not in Monty Python. If you want tickets and more information for the other performances, you can go to HollywoodBowl.com. Donald Trump continues
to be awesome.
His march to the White House.
Douchebag!
He's just taking hits from all sides. Now a Mexican artist named Fernando Sosa has sculpted a tribute to Donald Trump. He has sculpted a likeness of Donald that is a butt plug. He has sculpted a Donald Trump butt plug.
It's about time.
Fernando says he uses butt plugs to insult dictators, homophobes, and politicians. And when he heard the Donald's remarks about Mexicans and Latinos, he was extremely angry. He said, "You see, I was born and raised in Mexico, moved to the United States when I was 11. When Trump decided to announce he's running for president, he decided to use Latinos as a scapegoat and blame us for everything that is ailing America." And so, as a statement, he has made the Donald Trump butt plug.
It smells like butt hair.
You can find it online if you're so inclined to check out the Donald Trump butt plug.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
As well you should be. Taylor Swift continues just to parade her friends in front of everyone, saying, look how many famous friends I have. Aren't they famous? Don't I have friends? In Washington, D.C., at her concert in Nationals Park, she brought out Lord to sing Royals with her. Then, this is my best part, Taylor sent out a tweet after the show saying, "Lord flew all the way around the world just to be at my show."
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like, was she trying to give her props or give herself props?
You know what the answer is.
Yeah, she was trying to give herself props.
Right. Even if she had the thinly veiled appearance of, wasn't that great of her to fly all the way around the world just to come to my show? It's camouflage self-fluffery.
She wasn't surprised that she was there?
I don't get that one.
Because she's always surprised about things, like shocked about.
Yeah.
God.
Not so much.
I hate it here.
We haven't answered my trivia
question.
Didn't
take long.
Javier and Wayne Park.
Javier?
Yes, sir. That would be Terry Gilliam.
Terry Gilliam, of course. Went on to become a famous director. Movie director. Yeah. Movies like...
Yeah, I thought I'd chime in.
Time Bandits, right? And The Fisher King. What else? Brazil? Congratulations. You're going to go see Monty Python Spamalot at the Hollywood Bowl, Javier. Hold on. We'll give you all the details, okay?
Excellent. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Bible.
Bible, indeed. Today's celebrity birthday is Diane Kruger's 39 years old today, as is very funny man and all-around good guy, Gabriel Iglesias. He was so great to do our show at April Fool's.
Yes, he was.
39.
And he was tremendous.
So funny. John Dolmayan from System of a Down. He is 42. As is Brian Austin Green. Scott Foley is 43 today. Eddie Griffin, speaking of comedians, is 47. Adam Savage, TV host of MythBusters, 48 years old today. Forrest Whitaker is 54. Terry O'Quinn turns 63. And wrestler/governor Jesse Ventura is 64. Whenever I feel bad about having elected Arnold Schwarzenegger as the governor of our state, I say, well, it could have been worse. We could have elected a wrestler who... by the way, as an aside, is insane. Jesse Ventura is 64 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're about 5 minutes away from us telling you how you can win a pair of deluxe annual passes for Disneyland Resort here from the Kevin Bean Show on Kara. By the way, I'm trying to get this started, Kevin, but I'm not getting much traction with it. I'm trying to call Disneyland the happiest place on earth. I feel like that's a great name for it because that's what it is to me, but I don't see other people picking that up and running with it. So help me with that if you would, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
What do you think Bean wants me to say at this point?
Not
just
sure.
I'm on it.
I'm so on it.
Little support.
Bean.
Allie, let me ask you, because you're you're female adjacent. I have trouble.
I'm a real girl.
Eh, not technically. All right. I love Gwyneth Paltrow in that I think she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's an excellent actress.
Sure.
But lots of people hate her.
She's a bitch.
For what she does off screen. What's your take on Miss Paltrow?
I think a lot of people just find her entitled, and she tries to appeal to people with the most outrageous things, like her cooking. She'll be like, just take it outside to your brick oven. Well, we don't have that.
Just fly to France and eat at this restaurant.
And get this cheese. It's wonderful.
But do you think that she believes she's really talking to the masses?
She must.
She doesn't understand
it over and over.
She doesn't understand that she's talking to the 1%?
I don't think she gets that.
So she's our generation's Marie Antoinette, basically. The legendary story of Marie Antoinette during the French Revolution was they said,
topical.
Well, you know the story. They said the people are revolting because they have no bread. And she said, let them eat cake. But it didn't really happen. But that's the story. That was what is pinned on her. And you're saying Gwyneth Paltrow is like that. She just doesn't understand how most of us live.
Take that back, fine. All right, listen. You're not yawning right. You don't yawn properly.
That's the point of this whole conversation is on Goop.com. She has posted tips from a man named Michael Lear, who is a wonderful yogi, apparently, and an important quarterback for mindfulness and meditation in this country. And he has tips on how to yawn properly. That's what Gwyneth Paltrow is coming at us with now, is that we're not yawning right.
Now, I thought that yawning was just involuntary. You just yawn, and then you move on with your life.
I don't see how you could do it wrong.
Right.
But there are a lot of tips here about how to lean into the yawn reflex on Goop.com. Number one, gently tilt your head back to a comfortable position and allow your mouth to hang open widely while you gently extend into it. I don't even know what that means.
Still talking about yawning.
I think.
Yep.
I hope so.
Okay.
Number two, contract the back of the throat as if to perform, what is this, UJJAYI breathing? Anyone?
Don't know.
A whispery breath, which is typically done through your nose with your mouth closed. Breathe.
Now, wait, I thought she said to open, let your mouth hang open. Now your mouth is closed?
She did say that, but then contract the back of the throat as if to perform this kind of whispery breathing, which is typically done through your nose with your mouth closed. Breathe deeply through your mouth so you feel the air hit the back of your throat. So clearly your mouth is open there.
By the way, I'm 40 seconds into a yawn now. Who's got that kind of time?
That's a good point. Doesn't it take about 2 seconds to yawn?
This is two of five steps.
Inhale and exhale completely while allowing your shoulders to relax as you exhale. Thank you, Gwyneth. When the yawn comes, number four, when the yawn comes, reach and extend into it, riding the yawn to stretch the jaw muscles. Repeat eight.
Riding the yawn?
I guess just go with it.
Go with the yawn?
Riding the yawn, yes.
Okay.
All right, here's the most confusing step at all. Repeat 8 to 10 times until tearing starts. Or tearing. I don't know. That's how it's spelled. Tearing or tearing.
Again, yawns.
I'm guessing it's not tearing.
As your jaw muscles stretch and relax and the yawn expands, the lacrimal glands around the eye are squeezed and tearing is induced. Okay, there it is. Okay. It is tearing.
Okay, but
I'm supposed to yawn until I cry?
Yes. But what if you don't have to yawn more than once? What if you yawn and then you're done yawning?
So is the yogi suggesting that we force ourselves to yawn as some sort of a reset to our body? Is that what this sounds like to you? Is you're supposed to try to make yourself yawn?
As like a breathing technique type of thing?
I don't.
And a stretch. You stretch and you breathe and you ride it.
And you constrict your throat.
This is making yawning way too complicated for me. Then it goes on. Continue with steps 1 through 4 above, and when the yawn comes, bring together only the lips. Keep the teeth slightly separated. Creating this shape with your mouth as you yawn will take out more slack in the throat muscles to bring the lengthening and relaxation around the base of the tongue and further stretch and relax the neck, jaw, and occipital regions.
Occipital.
I didn't say that right. Repeat 8 to 10 times until you begin to tear. Explore these exercises throughout the day, especially before bed, to release accumulated energy and tension that may result from conversation and/or the vicissitudes of the day.
Okay, so this is more of a way of relaxing before you go to bed. Let's take a caller. This is Aaron.
Do we have somebody who knows something about yawning?
Aaron in Woodland Hills is going to explain to us what this is. Aaron,
okay, thank you for calling, Aaron.
Hi, guys.
Okay, so ujjayi breath is, it's the same breathing that you do in yoga.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So you do not want your mouth open. Your mouth is closed.
But she started, step one was tilt your head back and open your mouth and let it fall open. That was step one.
Well, that must be some kind of, I don't know, relaxation for your neck or your mouth or something.
This
before
is
you
very
start.
Confusing.
The ujjayi breathing is the breathing that you do in yoga. Your mouth is closed. Your mouth is not open.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Aaron. Do we need Gwyneth Paltrow to teach the world how to yawn? Have we, as a species, been doing it wrong?
I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to have to say we do not need Gwyneth Paltrow to teach us how to yawn.
We don't, right?
Definitely not.
All right.
But the ujjayi breathing, you're supposed to sound like Darth Vader. You constrict the muscles in the back of your throat when you're exhaling.
Mm-hmm.
But your mouth is closed the whole time.
I
don't know what that's about.
All right.
Now we just find out now that we've been yawning wrong our whole lives, it sounds like. Thanks, Gwyneth.
Well, you know, she does seem very enlightened, that Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, she sure tries to appear that way, doesn't she?
Yeah. All right, Aaron, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. We're clearing the lines. Open them right back up for you if you would like to win a pair of deluxe annual passes for Disneyland Resort. Also, Disney's California Adventure Price. You can call right now, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. If you're a fan of Disney and Disneyana, you'll have a good chance of winning this game. We'll play it next on K-Rock. Our friend Adam Carolla joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we want to hook you up with a pair of deluxe annual passes for the Disneyland Resort. We're talking about a full year at Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks with a game that we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want passes to Disneyland in Anaheim, oh yeah! Total Recall, deluxe annual passes, that's what you
fun game to play along with if you're listening to the radio at home, at work, or in your car. Not so much fun if you're the person on the phone who is asked to come up with 5 items in 10 seconds in a particular category. Tough game to play.
Yeah, the 10 seconds goes by really quickly.
It does. It almost seems like it takes like 10 seconds to go by.
A lot of times people will get hung up. They'll think of one and then they'll just panic and go, I can't think of any more.
So, Kevin, all of the categories today are going to be Disney related, correct?
That's correct.
Now, okay, so 10 seconds on the clock. You're going to give the caller a category, and then they're going to try to name 5 things in that category in 10 seconds. If they do, they go into the drawing to win the passes.
All right. Now, by the way, there's 1,000 answers. Disney has been around forever. When you talk about movies, they've been making them since the 20s, 30s. Talk about songs. So there's a lot of answers out there. So you guys all have to sort of help me.
Okay.
Sure.
Maybe have a grip, as much a grip as I should on all of the Disney stuff. All right. Let's start with Glenn in Corona. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how are you?
We are good. You have 10 seconds to name 5 Disney princesses. Disney princesses. Go.
Cinderella, Aurora, Jasmine, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, dude.
I was very impressed with you coming up with 4, but we needed 5 this time around. But thank you for playing anyway, Glenn.
See, that's tough.
I feel like he would have made it if he had like another second on the clock, but like you said, it goes by fast.
All right, let's go to Diana in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Total Recall, name 5 Disney princes. 5 Disney princes. Go.
Eric. Oh, God. Prince Eric, Prince Charming, Prince. Oh, my gosh, I can't think of it. I'm so sorry.
No, look, that's the problem with 10 seconds is just you freeze.
Who were some of the other princes, Kevin, that you might have come up with?
Well, there's Aladdin, Prince Philip, Hercules. It goes on forever. Last night I was like writing down answers. Like, I could write down 700 answers.
Thank you for playing, Diana. We are 0-2 so far playing Total Recall for Disneyland passes. Who's up next?
All right, next is Carlos in Riverside. Hi, Carlos.
Hey, good morning.
All right, we're going to ask you to name 5 rides at Disneyland. 5 rides at Disneyland. Go.
Okay, Matterhorn, Indiana Jones, Space Mountain, Star Tours, and the Teacup Ride.
Nice. Yes! I would not have predicted that you, Carlos, would have come up with the teacup ride. But congratulations. You are one step closer to winning the deluxe annual passes for Disneyland Resort. You are in the drawing. Well done, sir. Please hold.
All right. Let's go to Danny in Los Angeles. Hi, Danny.
What's going on, guys?
There have been many, 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 many famous songs from Disney movies. Name five famous songs from Disney movies. Go.
Hi-ho, Let It Go. Someday My Prince Will Come. It's Gonna Be
Me. Oh, sorry. Oh. Sorry.
What are some of your other favorites, Kevin?
Well, I mean, there's a lot. Every song from Mary Poppins is on here. Mm-hmm. Spoonful of Sugar, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, which I would never have thought I could get through. Zippity-doo-dah. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of these songs.
Thank you for the call so much. We appreciate you playing. Let's do, is it Sherry O up next from Long Beach on line 5, I think, is our next contestant.
Hold on. I think I didn't hang up on that guy. Okay, now let's go. All right. You ready, Sherry?
I am.
All right. For you, we want five Disney movies. Five Disney movies. Go.
Aladdin, Cinderella, Frozen, Beauty and the Beast, Rapunzel, Little Mermaid.
I didn't get Rapunzel as a movie. Is that a movie, Chip?
Tangled.
Tangled. I'm sorry. So you only came up with four in the time. Nice try, though, Sherry.
Sorry. That's it. That's all the questions I have, for God's sake.
Okay. Well, let's it's do either going to be Carlos or Carlos, then, on line 3. Allie, who is going to win our Disneyland annual passes for the resort and Disney Adventure Parks?
It's going to be Carlos.
What?
Carlos!
I know.
You did it, Carlos.
Wow.
Yeah. And thanks for playing the game.
Oh, yeah! Total Recall!
We came up with a new segment that we want to try out. We dipped into it a little bit last week, but our friend Adam Carolla, it's tough to pull him out of his shell. Don't you guys find that it's tough to get Adam to really just speak, you know, extemporaneously from the heart about a topic?
He's able to talk about anything and forever.
Oh, and that's right. I forgot. He's the complete opposite. Adam has an opinion on everything, whether you ask him or not. That's true. Mr. Carolla, by the way, is going to be on stage at the Gas Lamp in Long Beach on August 6th. This is going to be a very special show because Whitney Cummings will be here. And you know how much we all love her. Tickets are available now, just $25 at adamcarolla.com. Catch a Contractor airs Sunday nights at 10 on Spike. Our new segment is called, Hey, Adam Carolla, What's Your Take?
Adam Carolla.
Did you come out of the womb talking? I'm guessing you did.
My problem is I spent my 31st years on this planet with everyone telling me to shut up. So I have a lot of stored up talking energy.
We've all done exactly. Your podcast, and you don't need to say anything to do the Adam Carolla podcast, which is nice. It's a nice thing to go on.
Guess on for.
Go on. Exactly. I don't know.
All right, Adam, we are fascinated with your take on so many things, and you are a guy who's got a lot of solutions. You're a problem solver. That's what you're about. And one of the problems that I have for you today is we haven't seen the report yet on the ratings of last night's Major League Baseball All-Star Game, but if tradition holds, it's going to be a lowly rated event again. Fewer and fewer people are watching baseball on TV. It is no longer America's national pastime. How did baseball lose the nation, Adam?
Well, I'll explain what happened, and then I'll explain how we're going to get it back.
Okay.
First off, what killed it is HD, the high def. These guys are spitting machines. As a matter of fact, we could solve the drought problem here in California if we just brought every major leaguer and have them just spit on everyone's lawn. They never stop spitting. The reason they never stop chewing seeds, chewing dip, and spitting is because the game is so boring, they become so idiosyncratic, they have nothing to do. They actually eat and make pyramids of sunflower seed husk in the dugout. You go to the sideline of an NFL football game, you're going to see three things. Fat black dude sucking on oxygen tank, defensive coordinator screaming at defensive linemen, and co coaches talking to quarterbacks. There's never a part where you see them eating, is there?
That's true. There's no eating period in football.
Or trying to put on their helmets backwards as a rally helmet. Or getting some shaving cream ready on a towel so they can throw it in the face of another guy.
Same with the NBA.
Yes,
that's true.
Literally, yes, in the NBA, like, look, go to the sideline of an NBA. It is one guy, you know, with male pattern baldness who's out of his breath screaming at a dry erase board and pointing at it and five other guys huddled around it.
That's true.
There's, you go to the dugout of a baseball game, they're eating and playing grab ass.
So there's too much time, too much downtime in baseball.
Way too much downtime. And then with the high def, I can see every bubble, every piece of spittle, everything that comes off of these guys' mouth when they pull in tight before the guy delivers the pitch. But ultimately, the game is too long. I did some research. You know what I found out?
What?
What? Word about the halfway point. We're a little past. Like, the Angels have played 88 games this year, and we're at the halfway point of the Major League Baseball season. You know how many episodes they did of Breaking Bad?
A total no.
Off the top of my head, no.
62. We've already had 88 episodes of baseball. We're only at the halfway point.
Right.
Are you better than Breaking Bad? I don't think so. Sopranos, 86 episodes. We're already past that. We're not even at the halfway point, or we're just at the halfway point. How could you give a crap if it goes well over 150 games into the season?
So how do you fix it? Shorten the season?
All right. No. I mean, yes. Cut it in half. Do whatever they do in hockey and basketball and football and whatever. But ultimately, here's how you fix all things entertainment.
Okay.
We got to get black folks down with it.
Well,
let me
black
tell you
folks have been abandoning baseball by in droves,
yes,
in recent years.
Here's the deal. We don't look to the black community for answers in many departments. In math and science, we're fine. But when it comes to entertainment, we look to the black community. All we do is young white peoples go, what kind of music shall we listen to? What's the next dance craze? What is next in entertainment? We look to the black community for this. And if they're fleeing baseball, so are we. We trust them when it comes to entertainment, not anything else, just entertainment. I hope I'm making myself clear.
Yeah, you are.
The point is, we got to get the brothers back into baseball, because Whitey will go wherever the black folks go in the entertainment department.
I think you might be onto something there, because if black folks don't think baseball is hip, then we don't think baseball is hip. That's your point.
That's right. We just go, hey, black folk, what's hip? And they go, not baseball. And we go, good, what's next?
Exactly. Okay. All right. Moving on. Again, Adam Carolla is on the line. We're asking what his take is on various topics in the news. You briefly mentioned the California drought, the water shortage. Are we being served a pile by the government? Is it as serious as they say? When they start telling us to take five-minute showers and they start turning off the showers at the beaches in Southern California, rather than going after the farmers that are basically creating oceans to farm almonds, are they going after the wrong people in the water? It shouldn't be on you and me, the consumer, should it, Adam?
Well, they always do this crap where I just went out to eat 2 days ago, and I was like, could I have a glass of water? And they're like, oh, yeah, you can have one, but you got to ask nice. Like, how much water are we really going to save by not giving out glasses of water at restaurants?
Yeah.
Really. Like, so what we do is we do all the symbolic stuff, and we do none of the big stuff. I'll give you just a real basic example of taking millions and millions of gallons of clean, drinkable water and putting it right down the drain every single year. Every single house should have a recirc pump. It should have one of those things that recirculates the hot water so that when you go to your shower and you turn it on, it's instantly hot. You don't stand there for 6 minutes and letting it all roll down the drain, which everyone does now because it takes a long time to get the water from the hot water heater over to the master bath, which is upstairs with the hot water heater in the basement. It's a recirc pump. It costs like $186. A plumber can put it in 2 hours. Done. No one's ever heard of it. Why? Government doesn't care. The next thing they could do, and I have traveled all over California. I've gone Fresno. I've gone to Sacramento. I've gone to San Francisco. I have never stayed in a hotel that had the same shower valve as any other hotel I've ever stayed in the state or out of the state or at home. So all you do is turn the water on and hold your hand out over it going, is it getting warmer? I think it's getting warmer. Maybe getting cooler. I burned the back of my sack the last time I traveled. I'm not going to risk this again. And then you waste thousands and thousands of gallons. And then when you get out of the shower, there's a little picture of a dolphin hanging over a towel on a piece of cardboard that says, we conserve water here. You do? Because I just put 2,000 gallons right into the bay because you won't take these valves and standardize them. Standardize them. Make it the same valve at every hotel and teach it to us in high school. We wouldn't waste a drop that way. And finally, here's what we got to do, big picture.
All right, big picture.
We need a water czar.
A water czar.
A water czar.
All right.
And I'm talking about someone who can really play the part. Like, I'm talking about someone who looks like they know what they're talking about, who speaks from experience with authority, who walks with purpose. I'm talking about Tom Selleck. And I'm talking about Tom Selleck firing up his fleet of tanker trucks and going to Oregon and just taking what he needs.
Since he steals water anyway, why not steal water for the state?
We put him in a Hawaiian shirt. He leads it's a convoy led by Selleck, driving a red Ferrari 308, Magnum PA. He gets out. He's wearing his Hawaiian shirt, and he's like, hey, bitches, we need some water. And he just tells his minions to load up once a week up to Oregon. What are you going to do about it?
That's right. Who's going to say no to Tom Selleck, right?
Nobody says no to Tom Selleck and his fleet of tankers.
I can't argue with that. Once again, Adam Carolla has the best take and the best ideas. You can see him on TV Sunday nights on Spike at 10 o'clock with Catch a Contractor. The Adam Carolla Show podcast is available at adamcarolla.com. And go see him live at the Gas Lamp in Long Beach with special guest Whitney Cummings. That show is August 6th. Tickets available at adamcarolla.com. Have a great week, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Adam Carolla, what's your take?
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Wait, what? I didn't say that.
What?
fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
I'm not a winner. Hey, listen, we want to send you to Las Vegas for the Life is Beautiful Festival. It's K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2015, destination number 2. We will get you all qualified up for that. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
You have time for a tangent?
Sure.
Tangent, yes.
Yeah, sure. Segment.
Something that's not showbiz?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because I was just in the other room reading, and I came across this list, and I thought it was fascinating.
Okay.
These are the top 10 biggest phobias.
Top 10 biggest phobias.
According to the National Mental Health Association. The top 10 things people are most afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take a guess?
Speaking in front of people.
Play along. People and social situations, you want to call it that?
I guess.
That would be number 2.
Then yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number 2, people and social situations. So I guess social phobia, being in public and speaking in public would all be all under that umbrella, I would assume.
Plane crashes.
Flying, would you say just flying?
Sure.
That's 3rd on the list.
Okay.
Yeah, so people say they're afraid of flying, but what they're really afraid of is crashing.
Yeah.
Right. You guys are good
Death.
When it comes to fear. Death is 10th on the list.
10th?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I guess that's something we all know is coming. So you really, I guess most people are at least a little bit inoculated against that because you know it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
So the only people who have genuine phobias about it, 10th on the list.
How about heights, Ruff?
Heights, no.
Wow.
No fear of heights?
Not in the top 10.
Spiders.
Spiders. Snakes.
Spiders is number 1, Allie.
Thank you.
Finally, Allie's good at being afraid of stuff.
How about that?
Apparently, her phobias are coming in handy at this point.
Never getting married.
That's not
is that on the
That's your own personal list.
Right.
Spiders is number 1.
People
are
most afraid of spiders.
And that's absurd.
Here's where Bean tells us how helpful and friendly spiders
are. Because they are. Because
the
99.9% of the spiders that you ever come in contact plastic where they're not are not going to hurt you, you should pick them up and put them outside.
Put them in a little spider lazy boy easy chair and build them a little spider television.
Well, it's ridiculous.
Give them a little spider fridge and have them just live in a little spider home in your house because they're the best things. Spiders are so wonderful.
Yeah, kill spiders.
Spiders are
kill
so
spiders?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That sound happens when I see a spider.
Yeah. I don't like them.
That's mean.
That's me with a paper towel.
That's mean.
It is.
Don't be in my house. Pointless. There's an easy fix.
That's right.
I'm not outside. I'm not hunting spiders in the wild. I don't get myself a Sherpa guide and go out there with a pack mule and some weapons and go hunt down spiders. Just stay where you belong outside of my house.
It's a stand your ground policy.
That's what I'm saying. You cross the line, you pay the price.
Got it.
I like it.
Ralph, how about...
Speaking of spiders, sci-fi, July 25th. Lavalantula is going to be on.
You can't have a tangent on your tangent, Ralph.
It's not tangent. It's connected. It's perfectly connected.
How about...
I brought this up so I could plug Lavalantula. Spiders.
Claustrophobia.
Spiders, number
one.
Afraid
of small spaces.
I feel like he's done with the list because he mentioned Lavalantula.
Confined spaces, claustrophobia, fifth on the list. Here's the nutty thing. Confined spaces is fifth on the list. Open spaces is fourth on the list. More people are afraid of open spaces than they are of closed spaces.
Like what kind of open spaces would you be afraid of? You mean people who are on the ocean or something, you mean?
Agoraphobia is the fear of open spaces. Being out in a field, being out in a empty parking lot, great expansive spaces around you. People are afraid of open spaces.
Well, that's the first one I don't understand at all.
Because that seems like the safest place in the world to be is where you could see anything coming at you from a great distance away.
Going outside of your home, for example. They don't want to do that. They like to be inside their home because if they get outside of their home.
Yeah.
What do you mean you get that?
Well, I got a touch of that.
Touch. You're the king of that.
All right.
Heights was sixth. I'm sorry. It was in a tie with vomiting. That's why I didn't see it automatically. Vomiting and Heights were tied at number six. That's why I didn't see Heights right away. It was right next to vomiting, and that's what confused me.
How about yawning improperly?
That's not on the list.
Snakes.
Snakes are not on the list. The only animal on the list are spiders. Cancer, eighth.
Okay.
I'm afraid of cancer.
I have that. I have a fear of cancer.
I had cancer.
You're also afraid of death.
I'm fine now.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had melanoma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're okay.
Thanks, Kevin. Mm-hmm.
Just far from okay, by the way.
Well,
have you heard the file? Have you opened the file lately?
Sure, we did. Open
I'm
the file
afraid
earlier.
Of the file. That's 11th on the list is fear of the file. And ninth, which is just lame, just the lamest fear maybe of all of them.
Batman.
Thunderstorms.
Thunderstorms.
Ninth on the list was thunderstorms. People are afraid of thunderstorms.
I get that if you're a dog. Yeah. I don't get that if you're a human.
That's why you have to have a thunder buddy.
Right, that's true.
Oh,
right?
Ted.
Just God's farts. Fots. Just God's fots, as they say in Ted. All right, that was my little
All right.
Didn't have much time for show business.
When you hear the sound of thunder, don't you get too scared. Just grab your thunder buddy and say these magic words. You thunder, you can take
it,
thunder, cause you're just
God's
fight.
There you go.
That's very helpful in the event of a thunderstorm.
Ted 2 in theaters everywhere right now.
Now, do we see that before or after we see Lavalantula?
I would go before.
Okay.
And then after. And then watch Lavalantula again after you get back from seeing Ted.
All right. Just a continuous loop.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jesse Ventura is 64 years old today. He is a politician who was once a professional wrestler. Now, he is a current nutcase.
Yeah. Anybody that makes fun of us.
He's an entertaining nutcase.
Anybody that makes fun of us for Arnold Schwarzenegger, we always at least have him to go to.
Just point to Minnesota. Yep. Say, look at them. First of all,
much crazier.
What's up with all those lakes? And secondly, what's their voting practices? What's going on there?
Rob, wasn't Jesse Ventura in the news not long ago for suing and winning a libel lawsuit against the American Sniper?
Yep.
Chris Kyle wrote a chapter in his book that involved Jesse Ventura doing something in a bar or something like that, and Jesse Ventura sued him saying it wasn't true and ended up winning in court, if I remember correctly.
All right, then.
Any of this sound familiar?
No, but...
No.
It's
it does
real.
The sheep.
Does that sound right to you, Alan?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
There you go.
And all the Navy SEALs were like, no, that's not right. You shouldn't be suing.
What were they again?
No. And they did jazz hands. I don't know why I did that.
Terry O'Quinn is 63 years old today. Very talented actor. Now, where can we see him these days? Bean, you're the big Terry O'Quinn fan. What's he working on?
He is on a show.
All right. Okay. I'll look for that.
But you said it's he's your favorite actor ever, and you love him, and you watch him in everything that he does.
Yes, he is. He's my favorite. He's my favorite. He's in Lost, of course. And
yeah,
X,
but I'm saying now, what's he doing
West
these
Wing.
Days?
He's like, been in everything.
Right,
he's on some
right now, he's doing something.
TV show. I'm hoping somebody will help me in the other room and tell me what he's on. But it's something I don't watch.
Wow,
it's great. It's great. And he's great.
I don't
and
watch,
it's great.
But it's great.
I can see why you're
right.
President of the fan club.
Sure,
with all your extensive Terry O'Quinn knowledge.
Right, exactly.
Forrest Whitaker is 54 years old today. Adam Savage, TV show host, is 48. Of course, Mythbusters. Bean said he went around Comic-Con this year dressed as an astronaut. It turns out he was in a Judge Dredd costume. It cosplayed like it's Judge Dredd. I did a little research to
Either
find out.
That's a terrible
what was going on.
He was dressed as an astronaut, and he was with a real astronaut who was also in an astronaut suit. The two of them together went around Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That Chris Hatfield guy, the astronaut. The two of them went to Comic-Con dressed as astronauts.
Maybe it's in
days.
Several costumes.
I saw
yeah,
the pictures. Terry O'Quinn currently is a co-star on a little show called Hawaii Five-O, ladies and gentlemen.
Hmm.
That's where Mr. O'Quinn can be seen.
So Terry O'Quinn, one of your favorite actors of all time. Hawaii Five-O, one of your favorite television shows of all time. Both those combined make you not watch.
I don't watch.
Let me just do the math. I'm doing a little math.
I don't
here.
Watch the Hawaii Five-O.
No, it sounds like, and you don't watch him in Hawaii Five-O. What are your favorite all-time TV shows with your?
But I do love
actor.
Him so much. That's
all
true.
Right. Well, again, your logic is flawless. Eddie Griffin, 47 years old today. Scott Foley's 43. Brian Austin Green turns 42. John Dolmayan. From System of a Down, he is 42. Gabriel Iglesias, 39 today, as is actress Diane Kruger. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to you, James Staler from Altadena. You are qualified to go to Las Vegas for the Life is Beautiful Festival, which is coming up. It's K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2015. You might be seeing Imagine Dragons and Kendrick Lamar and Weezer, Death Cab for Cutie, Major Lazer, so much more. We're talking about airfare, hotel, tickets to the show, the whole deal. Grand prize during Monday morning right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Your next chance to qualify is at noon. This past weekend was the Miss USA pageant, which Ralph informed us did not have a large television viewership. You know, it was bumped from NBC because of the ongoing Donald Trump controversy. So it was put on something called the Reels channel, and fewer than a million people watched it.
He owns that pageant, right?
That is correct. He owns Miss USA. He owns Miss Universe. He's in a world of hurt with Miss Universe, by the way, because the ladies who participated in that pageant from all the hot countries are no longer going. So he's not going to have Miss Brazil, and he's not going to have Miss Colombia, and he's not going to have Miss Mexico. All the best people on the pageant are no longer
going to participate. Do the hot countries just get together in a hot country forum and go, let's boycott?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
But since none of us even knew the Miss USA pageant was on, and none of us watched it, Kevin.
Right.
That means we missed one of our favorite things of the whole year, which is where beauty pageant contestants are asked questions about how to make America great again.
That's right.
Which is so much fun. Here's how they introduce the question and answer portion of the show Sunday night.
Welcome back to Miss USA 2015. Now, these beautifully jeweled plaques bear the names of the judges who are prepared to challenge our five finalists in this round. It's the one that always brings some interesting answers. The judge's final question.
Since Miss USA spends so much of her life in front of the cameras, she can be put on the spot at any time. Keeping her composure in the spotlight is key, and that's what this round is all about.
Well, they're now, using some good music under that.
They
that's
we hear music for the questions too. It seems like a flawed process to take girls who are on the pageant because they've got big boobs and bleached teeth and silky hair and asking them foreign policy questions.
Flawed? That's like the best thing that they could possibly do.
Do you think they still do it because they
yes!
know that's where the magic is?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I thought it might be fun to spotlight a couple of the answers that contestants gave. And first up, we have Miss Rhode Island. And let's try this. I'm going to play the question for you. And then let's put 30 seconds on the clock and let Allie McKay answer
yes,
the question.
Yes, I like it.
Oh,
okay. I like it.
Then we'll hear what Miss Rhode Island had to say, and then we can decide who gave a better answer to the question. Because it's coming out of nowhere for both of them, and no one has an advantage.
I like
Nobody
it.
Knows what the All question right. is going to be. So here's the first question. This is for Miss Rhode Island.
My question to you. Recently, comedian Jerry Seinfeld spoke out against political correctness in our culture. Do you think political correctness is hurting or helping this country, and why?
Is political correctness hurting or helping the country, and why? You have 30 seconds, beauty pageant contestant Allie McKay. What say you?
I definitely think that it is hurting the country because we're so offended over every little thing. We're really taking away from the big topics, the things we should be talking about, whether it's racism, whether it's war.
Oh, I'm sorry, your time's up. Your time's up. What a shame.
That was a very beauty pageant appropriate answer.
Thank you.
Let's see what Miss Rhode Island had to say.
That's a very good question. I think that it's a balance of both. We definitely need... I'm sorry. May you please repeat the question once more?
Copy that. Recently, comedian Jerry Seinfeld spoke out against political correctness in our culture. Do you think political correctness is hurting or helping this country, and why?
I think that it's a balance of both. We need the people to remind us, especially politicians, to remind us what to do right and when to do wrong. And it's never...
Time's up.
Wow.
Thanks so much, Rhode Island.
I'm sorry. I believe Allie McKay wins that round.
Wow.
Wow.
You got... Yeah. She used up most of her time having them repeat the question and then still had no... I think she didn't know what political correctness was.
Or who Jerry
I think that's
Seinfeld
what was happening
was.
There.
That could be as well. Might have tripped her up.
All right. Wow. You guys want to hear Allie answer another one?
Yes.
I say Kevin answers the next one.
Kevin.
How dare
Kevin.
You?
Kevin, how do you feel about tackling a beauty pageant question?
I'll take it.
Here's the next question.
Bring
this
it,
is for
bitch.
Miss Nevada.
What would you do to improve race relations in the U.S.? Please be specific.
Kevin, what would you do to improve race relations in the U.S.? Please be specific.
I would vote in Donald Trump as president.
And then you just drop the mic and let the rest of your time go?
He's got his arms up like he's won.
Boom.
That's your answer? That makes
That's
things
my
better
answer.
In this country?
That's my answer.
My answer.
All right.
I think you have a good chance of being Miss USA now, Kevin, as a result of that response. All right. Let's hear what Miss Nevada had to say to the same question, how to improve race relations. And remember, be specific was in the question, okay?
What I would do to improve race relations in the U.S. is get more races grouped together and be able to be with each other in a non... Let's see. I apologize. I think what we need to do is bring... We need to be more accepting of each other, and we need to bring people together. That's what I think we need to do.
That was Miss Nevada.
Spirit. Here's what I love.
They really panic under pressure, don't they?
I love that question is impossible to answer in 30 seconds. Like, there's no way for anyone to answer it. So then they craft it that way, and then they give them 30 seconds. And they go, you're just twisting the wind for a little bit.
I do agree. We should bring more racist groups together.
That's correct.
I think she meant races together is, I think, what she meant, but it didn't come out that way.
No.
All right. My conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, is that Kevin
Thank
is
you.
The new
yeah.
Miss USA 2015.
Thank you. I accept.
What the hell? What?
I don't know. This is a world famous K-Rock, I think. It's 20 minutes till 10.
Ralph, you haven't been in the room for the last few minutes.
Oh, jeez.
I know. He's obsessed with these Donald Trump butt plugs.
They're pretty strong.
He won't stop talking about it.
They're pretty strong. Have you seen them?
Yeah. I was the one who did the story.
I know, but have you seen the picture of them?
Well, yes. You think I do these things without knowing what I'm talking about?
I do all the time.
Well, that's you. You just retweeted yourself.
It needed to be done.
No, that's one of the cardinal rules of Twitter. You don't ever retweet yourself.
Sorry. Needed to be done. Nobody else was doing it, so I did it.
Well, isn't that...
I take care of business.
You don't think no one else was doing it was kind of a,
nope.
a reflection
What's the rule?
Of
What's the, rule
the appeal
here?
Of your tweet?
The rule
can't
is...
Can't argue with failure.
That's true. Man.
That's what we learned on today's show.
If people aren't retweeting you, then just live with it. Suck it up,
exactly.
Buttercup.
All right, it's 9:41. Ralph is here to land this one on a Wednesday, our final showbiz beat of the day. What's going on?
Thanks, Thunder Nuts. Being Kevin, rather, is, of course, talking about Mexican artist Fernando Sosa, who has an interesting medium that he works in as an artist. He likes to make protest butt plugs.
Is there a big market for that?
I guess it depends on... I can't say that on radio. Sosa says, I usually make butt plugs to insult dictators, homophobes, and politicians. However, when I heard Donald Trump's remarks about Mexicans and Latinos from South America, I was extremely angry. You see, I was born and raised in Mexico and moved to the United States when I was 11 years old. When Trump decided to announce he is running for president, he decided to use Latinos as a scapegoat and blame us for everything that is ailing America. So as a protest, he sculpted the likeness of Donald Trump as a butt plug. He says the this is the first model. He's going to make another one where the hair comes off. I guess if you want a smoother ride.
Uh-huh. Well, that was my question.
It's funny you would bring that up. Yeah. We just had a five-minute conversation off the air.
It's like jabby. Do you want that?
And he's going to have a replacement wig you can use that looks like... I probably should not what it looks like. And these are iffy times regarding what you can talk about and when you can say them. So just imagine. Imagine what you would put on top of his head if you could, and it was in that region.
I would say maybe go to Babylon.
South of the border.
Go to Babylon.
Go to Babylon.
You'll hear.
Friday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I will do the story, and I will get filthy beyond your wildest imagination.
Fewer restrictions.
None. And by fury means none.
None.
And then add the liberating factor of alcohol and weed in Kevin's case. And we play pretty fast and loose with
butt plugs.
Let me ask you this, but also with decorum.
Oh, that's
so, yes.
Let me ask you this, Ralph, because Donald Trump, not being a smart politician, seems to be responding to every criticism against him. He will just throw anyone under the bus who says something mean about him. Donald Trump responds in press rather than just ignoring it like a good
politician.
If
you tweet something angry, no matter who you are, he will tweet you back.
He'll call
you a loser.
Right.
Yeah. I like it.
So will he address the guy who made a Donald Trump butt plug?
Of course.
Is that something
he'll
bring up?
He can't resist it because being a narcissist... He is incapable, I think, of resisting any form of attention, positive or negative, especially negative. He feels obligated to defend himself in the court of public opinion. So I believe that he absolutely will say something at some point.
I can't wait for that.
It is crazy that someone who is a public figure takes the time to respond to every criticism, especially somebody who's supposed to be busy running for president.
Yeah.
Like, how does he have time to tweet at guys who write Modern Family?
Yeah, it's Danny Zucker, I guess, one of the writers from Modern Family. He's been slapping pretty good on Twitter, and Trump just keeps coming back. I watch your show. It's not funny. You're a loser, stupid head.
Wow.
And then Daniel wrote something pithy and funny. No, dumb, stupid, dumb head.
Hey, don't use my words.
Hey, Kevin. Donald Trump is Kevin. Just
how
dawned on me.
Dare you?
Donald Trump is Kevin's candidate. We learned that.
Let's run Kevin for president.
How dare you?
What do you say?
I'd be a great president.
While we're talking about unpopular public figures, Bill Cosby has lost maybe his last supporter. Whoopi Goldberg now has done an about-face regarding her defense of Cosby.
Uh-oh. Did she go on a date with him? Is that what happened? A
couple episodes ago, she said he was innocent until proved guilty. He's never been arrested for anything. He's not in jail. So stop it.
If I could just mention, innocent until proven guilty is in court.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be what we think.
Well, apparently someone reminded her that these 50 women who have... leveled allegations of sexual assault against Cosby. Many of them, the events in question, were beyond the statute of limitations. So these women had no recourse in either civil or legal court. So they couldn't arrest him. He couldn't go to jail. This was their last recourse, was to go public with these stories. And she didn't understand that initially. She was surprised by that fact. She was like, why is there a statute of limitations on rape? And the guy, the legal consultant she was talking to yesterday, said, well, it's a state crime, and so some states just do it. I mean, some people would like those to be all rescinded, but that's the way it is. She seemed shocked with that news.
Huh.
Anyway, she said, if this is their last recourse, the Court of Public Appeal, then all the evidence seems to point to guilt.
Well, so, welcome to the party.
So it looks like she says...
So yesterday,
he looks guilty.
Yesterday, she changed her.
Yep,
whole
yesterday.
Story.
The day before that, he was innocent until proven guilty.
Okay.
So.
And by the way, the other thing that's worth mentioning, Kevin correctly pointed out that innocent until proven guilty is what we think about in a court of law. That's not even accurate. It's not guilty or guilty. You're never deemed innocent by a court of law. They just say we weren't able to prove your guilt.
Right.
You see the distinction.
I'm going to have to look that up when I get home.
Well, she's saying you're not guilty of anything unless you're proven guilty without a shadow of a doubt in a court of law. That's what she was
saying.
Right,
exactly.
And that's just not the case.
Well, I'm glad she's finally on board with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Now there's just Camille Cosby left, right?
That's right. That was all consensual from those ladies. And Sinead O'Connor is not happy with the current cover of Rolling Stone magazine. Kim Kardashian.
How can you tell, Ralph?
Kim Kardashian's on the cover, wearing a jaunty captain's hat. I don't understand anything that's going on anymore.
It's a weird photo from the neck up, I'll tell you that.
I don't know why she's going to Catalina. But
what is she doing?
I don't know. But Sinead O'Connor's furious because apparently Sinead still thinks Rolling Stone is some sort of music magazine. She hasn't apparently picked up a copy in the past 20 years.
I hadn't heard her name before the UFC fight the other night when she sang in front of Conor McGregor. I hadn't heard about her or from her, any story about her in forever.
She's been in the news off and on.
Right. And she does still make records. They're not widely played or bought anymore.
Here's her statement on Facebook regarding the Kim Kardashian cover. What is this C word? And then in parentheses, I don't smile much because it causes wrinkles. Doing on the cover of Rolling Stone. Music has officially died. Who knew it would be Rolling Stone that murdered it? Simon Cowell and Lewis Walsh can no longer be expected to take all the blame. Bob Dylan must be effing horrified. Hashtag boycott Rolling Stone. Hashtag a generation is being groomed and silenced. And she tore up a picture of the Pope. Taught us all a lesson.
I'm not sure music is dead.
No.
But Rolling Stone doesn't really cover it much anymore.
Right. And Rolling Stone really has been dead for years to a lot of people. I'm guessing Bean still reads it. I'm guessing Bean still has a subscription. Let me see if I'm right. Bean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have a subscription to Rolling Stone magazine?
Yes.
Do you read every word of every issue?
No, I read a lot of it.
Okay.
They still have a lot of very good journalists working for Rolling Stone. They do cover a lot of interesting topics, but it is not primarily a music magazine anymore. They cover politics. They cover lots of things.
Do you still every day try to get a letter to the editor published?
No, I haven't written to Rolling Stone in a long time.
I think Steve Perry sounds like a mosquito.
I did have a number of letters written back in my heyday. Yeah. That was my thing. I had a number of letters published in Rolling Stone.
Is it still carved on stone tablets and dropped off at your door?
No. No. They still make it like a regular magazine. And, of course, most people that read it still read it online. But it's still a thing.
You should sit down with a Rolling Stone magazine and read it and then Periscope it. Read it to us.
That would be more exciting than most of his Periscopes. At least the pages would turn. At least there would be some action.
Periscope? Paranope.
Paranope is what Bean
does. Where's the periscoping from my Kevin and Bean Show colleagues, by the way? When am I going to see Allie on my periscope? When am I going to see Ralph Garman spending a little time? How about a little Kevin periscope? What's going on with you guys?
Well, what we do is we decide...
Get on board with the future, man.
Is there anything that we're doing that is interesting enough to periscope?
Right.
Yeah. Our answer is basically no.
No.
Because we're not going to periscope drinking chocolate milk.
You know what it is? You know, the problem is we have pride and dignity. I think that gets in the way, I think.
Well, if that's your standard, then I guess I'm out.
Yeah.
Oh no! This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah, it sure was.
That's
you know why? Because of ice cubes stuck together.
Oh no! This is a colossal disaster.
Define colossal disaster.
It sounds like a clip from one of those commercials where you have
terrible
wear,
actors.
You have to wear the Med Alert bracelet around the necklace. Because when you fall and you can't get up, you have to press that button, right?
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
Well, don't worry. We're right here for you, Mr. Baxter. Here at Medic Alert, we can send help to get you.
I do sound like the guy on the couch who got caught up in his Afghan. Get out from under.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
You won't say that anymore with new sheddies. It's a shirt and a blanket and a bed. It's a sheddy!
Look, I blame the girl for the ice cube disaster. She's the one who steered me wrong, all right?
She's not the one who periscoped it.
Yeah, did she make that decision?
No. Well, I didn't know when I periscoped it that it was going to go so horribly wrong. I thought it was going to be a triumphant moment. I didn't know that I was going to be exposing
Define
my...
Define triumphant moment.
I
Because what you were doing was drinking chocolate milk.
Right.
All right, we don't have to read this.
The scale of success to failure was very narrow. It could have gone okay or not so okay. You know what it couldn't have been? A triumph or, oh, no!
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
It could not be a colossal disaster.
Do you also have where he goes, are you guys seeing this?
We don't, but we'll get it. We'll get it. sounds like he's in Sharknado.
This is why I don't know that we need to revisit that.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Well, it's not a problem anymore. New Eggies. How to make Eggies Scrabble without all the mess. Infomercial Bean.
I love it.
I've fallen and I can't get up. Today's...
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
All right, that's enough.
It's never enough.
We can play that after every one of the Kevin and Bean shows, by the way. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jesse Ventura is 64 years old today. Terry O'Quinn turns 63. Forrest Whitaker is 54 years old. TV host Adam Savage is 48 years old today. Turns out Bean was right. He did wear an astronaut costume at Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
I saw his Comic-Con costume from the 2014 Comic-Con.
Ah.
So I was not...
You're off by a year.
I wasn't current. How Bean likes to stay current.
That's true.
Eddie Griffin, 47 years old today. Scott Foley's 43. Brian Austin Green is 42. John Dolmayan, System of a Down drummer, 42 years old today. Gabriel Iglesias is 39. And Diane Kruger, also 39. What a great actress she is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
I resent that.
Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk sports with Jim Rome. We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have Psycho Mike in studio, who is now a TV host. I mean, you know, host-ish. We have Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes, and we're going to talk to Bill Hader about the movie Trainwreck. That's tomorrow morning.